This episode of the 90 Day Fiancé Recap here on Rob Has a Podcast is sponsored by our friends over at BetterHelp Online Counseling. If you think you may be depressed or feeling overwhelmed or anxious, BetterHelp Online Counseling offers licensed professional therapists who are trained to listen and to help with a ton of different issues. Things like anxiety, grief, depression, relationship conflicts. Very important as we're discussing this television show here today. Family conflicts too. That is one that is very relevant to what we're talking about. Self-esteem and more. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs and then get matched up with a counselor in under 48 hours. You can easily schedule secure video or phone sessions, plus exchange unlimited messages to communicate with your therapist at your convenience. Everything you share is confidential. And if for any reason you're unhappy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time at no additional charge. Join the 1 million plus people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp counselor. BetterHelp is an affordable option, and our listeners get 10% off your first month with the discount code RHAP. Get started today at betterhelp.com/RHAP. Talk to a therapist online and get help. Hey, everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Cicerino back with our 90 Day Fiancé recap show. Week number two of season eight is in the books, and we've got so much to talk about here with the man who is Mr. 90 Day Fiancé for RHAP and much more. Please welcome back the great Puya Zivakili. Puya, how are you?
I'm doing phenomenal. It's always a great day when you can talk about people buying their significant other's gaming systems and other things. I'm very stoked to be here. This is going to be a good one. I can feel it.
Good. I'm very excited because we also have a great guest with us here today, of course. She is a woman who helped introduce me to this franchise when she appeared on Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast. I believe we watched the season 7 premiere. I don't even know what year was that. In 2020, I think it was, maybe not. You think in 2019? Yeah. All right. Anyway, here she is. Of course, she is the co-host of the hit Parks and Recreation Rewatch podcast, Pawnee Public Radio. Please welcome the great Hannah Lilnessen.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, yes. I think a couple years ago I described 90 Day Fiancé and each spinoff and what each spinoff meant.
Yes. Okay. Well, what did it mean?
Well, just that there's 90 Day Fiancé, there's 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 days, 90 Day Fiancé the other way, 90 Day Fiancé happily ever after, 90 Day Fiancé pillow talk. There's endless 90 Day Fiancés.
Okay. All right. And we are here to talk about the current one, season 8. And we are back here on the Rob Has a Podcast, of course, in the 90 Day Fiancé feed as well. It really means a lot to us here at the start of the new season. If we get your subscriptions and feedback and star ratings, go to robhasawebsite.com/90DayFiancé. Puya, is that right?
That's right. 90 Day, the number 9, the number 0, Day Fiancé. Any and all feedback is appreciated. And yeah, it helps us put ourselves out there more for more people to jump on the Hot Mess Express here.
Yes.
If you don't subscribe, then shame on you. The title of the episode.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. So yeah, we did TLC Shows Are Trash, I think was what came up on the wheel. And I think we just watched that episode.
Mm-hmm. The 2018? It feels like it was years ago, many years ago.
It wasn't 2018. That
might have been this year. It really might have been this year.
It was not 2020.
Okay. Yes. All right. It looked like it was November of 2019. Yeah, that's what it was. Okay. So yes. Episode
so
number 58.
So innocent.
Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast. So just over 1 year ago, Hannah joined us to talk about 90 Day Fiancé at that point. But here we are in season 8, and I'm so pumped up that this is Hannah, that this is the best sitcom on television, 90 Day Fiancé.
Oh, I've always said it should get all the Emmys.
It's so much fun. Are you enjoying the new season?
I am. When you asked me to be on the podcast, I realized I'd taken a bit of a break, gotten, you know, involved in the whole living outside of 90 Day Fiancé thing. And jumping back in, it felt like going home.
Yeah. Puya, how pumped up are you for episode 2 of this season?
Episode 2 was phenomenal. I think they gave us everything we wanted and more. They know who the stars of the show are.
They know exactly.
They really know what the material we want, what the Reddit wants, what the memes want. They gave us all of it and then some. It was just top to bottom a good time. Maybe like pick one couple out and I wouldn't have noticed the difference.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
Yeah. Puya, it's funny you say that because I texted my friend after I watched and they go, they know Brandon and his family are the breakout stars.
Mm-hmm.
I said, they found the star of the show and they'll introduce more couples and like surprises and it will be amazing. But they're really the new breakout stars. I'm in love with their.
Yeah. I have a little bit of a confession to make. So I record this show. I have YouTube TV and I record the show and then it's a 2-hour show. So that look, I know there are probably some purists out there that are like, just like hook it into my veins. I, you know, do not talk to me. Do not call me. But I, you know, sometimes get a little restless with the 2 hours. So I have varying degrees of speed of which I'm watching the episode based on what couple is on the screen. I don't mind sharing with the audience at what speed I'm watching each. And I think that that's going to be a good barometer of who's firing on all cylinders and who's sort of like just really maybe wasting some precious screen time where we could be cutting back to some of the 1Xers.
I can't wait to get your speed rating for each couple.
I'll share it. And if anybody wants to chart it, like some sort of like, you know, LFC power rankings in terms of like, you know, if you want to look on the chart, if I'm on like 2X for anybody by the end of the season, I'll let you know. We can keep track of this.
I'm a big fan. I know most people don't like this. Especially, I feel like it's with podcasting, it's more understandable with listening to audio. But I think a lot of people with the video form are like, why are you watching it quicker? Sometimes you have to. I think this is when I first started the podcast, Rob, with 90 Day Fiance Happily Ever After and The Other Way running simultaneously, I had to watch 4 hours of footage to podcast about it. So you know I watched it with some 1.5 speeds in there. So I definitely feel you on this.
Listen.
What program are you watching it with 1.5 speed?
So if you watch it online, there's a lot of like Chrome browser extensions that I use. On YouTube itself, you can go ahead and do that. By the way, this was like the good news, bad news for me that over the weekend, you know, I have been watching The West Wing on Netflix and I'm just banging through Netflix episodes of The West Wing. Good news, bad news. Over the weekend, I had the option on Netflix. How fast do you want to watch this episode? I'm like, oh, bump this up to 1.5. I'm like, you know, I've got 7 seasons to get through. Bad news is, The West Wing is leaving Netflix on December 24th. So I have going to HBO Max. Could not be less excited for that.
You better watch them quick then before they're off your radar.
And then I got to install a new app on my iPad.
I only watch quality shows like 90 Day Fiancé, you know, the real award winners.
The best of the best.
It might be too lowbrow for me.
All right. Well, let's get to the task at hand and check back in with our couples. And Puya and I talked about these couples in week number 1. But Hannah, do you have a favorite? You know who it is, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say the obvious stars are Brandon. It's Brandon, his mom. That's Brandon and his mom is the real golden couple here. I think, you know, we've seen a lot of mom relationships on 90 Day. Colton, his mom, Debbie. Being the gold standard for couples. I'm wondering if we'll get a Brandon, his mom, and Julia on a pillow talk. I really hope we do. But yeah, TLC knows that these are the stars. They're the backbone of the first 2 episodes. That dynamic, there's so much to unpack. And I actually believe in the couple, which might sound crazy, but I do believe that they want to be together, which helps add sort of a gravity to the complex relationship.
Yeah, Puya, this was interesting this week because in week 1, we just really saw the perspective of Brandon with his parents and sort of like a lot of anticipation about Julia. But in episode 2, we pick up Julia from the airport and we see things that are going on now with Julia's arrival. And I have to say, I'm Team Julia.
It's hard not to be Team Julia.
Yes, you're supposed to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, right out the gate. Let me tell you this. If I'm meeting my significant other after months of waiting, after a long, exhaustive visa process, I am also going to share in like feelings, kisses. Do I want to share them in front of the future in-laws? Absolutely not, especially when they're like 2 feet away from me. Again, absolutely not. Julia is in for a whirlwind of a time. And this was just the perfect way to introduce her to us as well. I feel like we're going to get along just fine with Julia here.
Yeah.
I think the airport entrances are equivalent to like the limo entrances on The Bachelor or Bachelorette.
Yes.
It tells a lot. And, you know, some couples immediately you can see that they're not into each other. This is the thing. Julia is fully excited. She's even really sweet to the parents who are there. I mean, I know they make out, but I really think it's a great limo entrance from Julia. I think it's a really good airport scene.
Because in the first week, I think we really just got to see the story about the perspective of like, oh, our precious little boy. We don't know who she is. We don't know what she's up to. We don't know what she wants with our son. But now here she is, seemingly to have pure motives. Like she's also like rather nice to him, unlike some of the other people that show up that like are just like showing up major complainers. And
I don't think pure motives are ever a thing on this show, but I will say she does seem to actually like him.
She seems like she's here for the right reasons, Hannah.
Yes.
I think there are always multiple reasons on this show, but I don't think that's a bad thing. I do think she likes him. I think she's attracted to him. I think she can have multiple reasons for also wanting to be there. I think both can be true and she can still be likable.
Okay.
I like her joking in her confessional of like, I'm here. I'm so excited. This is my home now. I'm going to get a green card and I'm happy. And then just joke, just so you know, at home, I am kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I would have pulled the clip.
It's a risky thing to give TLC the confessional if you're saying that. You don't know that they're going to include joke.
Right. Mm-hmm. Joke.
I think producers like her. So far, it seems like she's liked by producers.
Yeah. If you have to say joke at the end, though, Hannah, does that mean that it wasn't actually a good joke?
Not when it comes to doing a confessional on TV where you're going to have criticism.
Yeah.
In life, maybe. On TV, no.
Yeah. It's a little bit like not.
Yeah. It's a little bit like the psych. Not. Yeah. I found myself since this summer with Julie Chen Moonves hitting us with the I'm kidding. I found myself doing that now because I'm terrified someone might not get that I'm joking and they might take it seriously. I'm like, I'm kidding.
I'm kidding.
I promise you.
Joke.
Please. Yeah. It's joke.
Yeah. I know English is maybe second. Who knows? Maybe third, fourth language for Julia, but I love a lot of her, it's not a mispronunciation, but her that I love the way she talks.
Oh, yeah. She's got great timing. She speaks enough English to have that comedic timing down, to have the insults when she does, not insults, but to have the punches down when she does. I think we're gonna like Julia.
Yeah.
I think that the more you also see, because I think I can see Julia ending up being in the same place where the internet loves her speaking English the way they love Ziad speaking English, where it's like it's specific to him and the way he says the words he says. It's like you'll get the sentence structure, but it's just the phrasing couldn't be done better in the delivery as well. So I also am in for it.
It's interesting because Brandon and Julia actually did an interview that they released.
I didn't watch it, but I saw it was on ET, wasn't it?
I watched like half of it, and Julia was saying that people don't like her, and that was surprising to me because I feel like she's well liked.
That's just Brandon's mom. Everybody else likes her.
Maybe ET. Yeah, it's interesting they had them do an interview, but yeah, clearly that's got to be your favorite couple right now.
Yeah,
they're holding it up. There's so much to unpack. I wrote notes.
Yeah.
I wrote Brandon and family stars smothered. Why can't he wear a condom birth control? So clearly there's a lot of different notes here to take.
We'll cover it all.
We're going to cover it all. I'm sure. I have no doubt.
I'm like Brandon. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're letting me come on here and talk about the guiltiest of my guilty pleasure shows that I introduced you to. And I get to meet Puya. This is just, I'm really happy to be here. Thank you guys again. But
this is a real treat for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
This is like we're picking you up at the airport.
Let us know how the airport entrance has been. And now we'll move on to like the first dinner, first night.
Yeah. Can we talk about this? So how do you feel about if you're the travelee? So you're the one traveling. Yeah. Are you okay with other people making dinner plans for you? Or shouldn't it kind of be the ball should be in your court, right? Since you're the one that's dealing with it.
I don't want to jump, but I will jump for a sec to Jovi, who expected after a 30-hour airplane
like the same
ride
thing. Yeah.
For her to go out. And I told my friend, party. I go, is he a sociopath? Like, I don't understand. Like, and we'll talk about it. Yara, obviously, is going to be hilarious in a very bad, amazing way. And so most of it is not on him yet. But that idea that after 30 hours, someone would be like, you're not a good person for not wanting to go drinking with my friends. I would punch somebody.
Yeah. Puya, not even that, but mom and dad really cut this real close. They scheduled all right, well, her flight gets in at 3:00. All right, we'll go. We'll check into the hotel at 3:30. All right, dinner's at 3:40. They didn't leave in time for a shower, anything.
The lack of thought for her, it was like, okay, listen, it's 1900. We arrive at the hotel. We check in 1902, 1907. Be in the lobby.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a lack of thought. I think it's too much thought.
They put too much thought into this.
I think his mom's like, how quickly can he take his pants off? Let's get him to dinner. I think she's really thought this out.
Yeah. I love that. Julie was like, okay, so like five to 10 minutes. She's like, you'll take 5 minutes and you'll be okay with that.
And then she took 30. Good on Julia.
Yes. Yeah. Love that.
Yeah. Mom was like, let's talk about that. Hannah, we have so much. Let's go this. Take this chronologically because there's so much. Okay. I don't want to miss anything.
But you just lead us through it.
Yeah. So they had like a five 10 minutes, and mom said, "Okay, you'll take five." And she's like, "I don't mean to rush you, but we gotta hurry. We got to hurry. We'll lose our reservation." Puya, I'm sure that it was probably the finest restaurant in Washington, D.C. that they had reservations at.
Oh, yeah. The best possible one. Because we all know if it was the finest, they would not have had seats. They would have had to wait for all the parties.
It felt like a restaurant in the hotel.
Well, I was wondering maybe they were like waiting in the lobby. They were waiting in the bar after it was 30 minutes that they said, like, I guess we'll have a drink at the bar. And then before we head out to go to the restaurant.
I know this is a silly point to strongly disagree on, but I feel like it was the same table that they then brought food. I feel like it was all happening in the hotel.
They might have missed a reservation. They might have said, well, might as well just eat here. So at the airport, before they even get to the hotel, one of the producers really throws a grenade at Brandon. The producer asks him, Brandon, who's the most important woman in your life? And this just completely short circuits him. He has no way to escape this one, Puya.
No, he answers, I don't know, in Russian. And then he follows it up with no English in Russian to his mom. Mm-hmm. It was so funny to watch him in blank stare of like, oh my God, I have to make this decision. And throwing a grenade at Brandon really is the theme of Brandon's life because I feel like he gets that grenade from every direction. He's not safe from any corner. Maybe it's dad, but that's because dad is like, mom, you got this. I'm not going to deal.
I feel like dad gets pissed too.
I keep referencing talking to a friend about it, but my friend was like, I can't believe the parents did that to him at dinner. I feel like he has no agency as a character in his own life. Like, I understand the idea of grenades are being thrown at him, but I feel like he's to blame for a lot of that.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. He's a stupid moron. Brandon. Whoa. Yeah.
That was a lot harsher than I've ever been.
All of his problems are his fault.
Again, Brandon is big, like, this is future Brandon energy. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to hit the snooze button on this joint. It's not, I'm not going to be effective at anything I say to convince my mom otherwise. It's going to just blow over. It'll be fine. I feel like in the airport, when he gets asked that question, it's a very easy, just on instinct, immediately, Julia. First of all, she just traveled all the way here. Second of all, she's going to be with me the whole way through. Third of all, she's not making me do things I don't want to do. I feel like it's an easy choice. What's his mom going to do? Be upset about it?
She said, mom said, I hope he says both.
I think if Brandon was clever enough, he should have said some sort of answer that had both of them included.
Or ordered off the board. Who's the most important woman in your life? You know, I've always been a fan of Julia Roberts. Just go completely, just order off the menu.
Yeah, give a joke. I like that better.
I like that.
Random answer. Be like Lola Bunny. Like, just pick a cartoon character.
Yeah.
Or what he should have done is just slowly brought up his little gaming system and started gaming and ignoring the producer.
That would have been great. All right. Julia says, she comes out and says it. Hey, I haven't seen Brandon. I need some romantic time together. She's telling us what's going on. Mom knows. Brandon is concerned. He knows what mom is up to. This is what he says.
My mom's a look. Something I've dealt with my whole life. And this how it is for everybody?
No.
I don't know.
No, it's not like that for anybody else.
I did feel bad. Julia had a confessional where she also said, fuck off.
Yep.
And I felt like that was not about the mom. It felt, because she was looking to the side. I felt like there was like a bug. I don't know. I felt like it wasn't mom related. Yeah, Brandon, it's not normal. But you get little tidbits about where the breakdown of communication is happening. Like the mom says, you know, the three of us are so used to hanging out. Now it will be the four of us. Like we see that there is this misunderstanding about how this is going to play out. And the parents aren't innocent either. No one is innocent. It's amazing.
Yeah, I feel like his mom is very much like, listen, roosters belong on the farm, not with you. So I'm a rooster block you when I get the chance. However, with all this considered, I genuinely feel like
this farm analogy is losing me.
I genuinely feel like, Rob, is that my thing is that I feel like they are looking at it like we're adopting a daughter almost. Mm-hmm. Like it's like we're adding a fourth to our house. It's not like a, oh, she's coming here to take Brandon and like we'll have two separate houses. There's a new seat at the table in our house is the
absolutely. Way it is. I mean, you can see that in her confessionals leading up to Julia arriving too, and the way she's shaking. And I think there potentially could be something sweet about I'm so excited she's here, but it does read like that. Like they only had one kid. He has a stepbrother, but they never lived together. We're adopting a daughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Julia does not want to be adopted, not by Brandon's parents, at least. And she, as you mentioned, she says to him, I have a surprise for you. This is before we cut to, it's 30 minutes before they come back downstairs. And Hannah, this is such an interesting question for me.
What's in the box?
Is it Brandon or she's holding like a tiny yellow box?
She's
holding a box. Yeah. Okay. Does that box have the surprise or was the surprise, did that happen during the 30 minutes that they were gone?
I think the latter. I think that's when with the roosters were out to play, what they say in the biz, for those 30 minutes. Definitely.
Yeah.
I think the box that she brought down, I'm assuming was supposed to be a gift to the parents, right? To like his mom or something.
Okay. That was a different gift.
Yes. Yes. Not Brandon's gift.
Not only is there so much dysfunction, but there's so much future dysfunction set up here. Like my favorite line from episode one is when Brandon, not my favorite line, but my favorite concept is when Brandon's mom is like, I hope she's ready to help around the farm, get up early. There's just, I feel like all of episode one, it could have been called why these people were cast.
Yeah.
There's just so many like well, this guy, it's not going to end well. She's going to, like, seeds being planted. I'm
seeds,
thrilled.
Baby. Yeah, Julia is not an early riser, I don't suspect, also, because when they're talking about, like, that, well, she's like, yeah, you're going to get up and go to work, and, you know, I might be sleeping, and I might not even see you in the morning, so it doesn't sound like that she is an early riser.
No, not by any of it. I think to her, it's like she's picturing, like, just as much as they're picturing she's getting adopted into a house of four, she's very much picturing this is our life. It's a party of two. You go to work. I wake up. I do my thing. And then we hang out when you come home from work. Mm-hmm. That's the plan. Mm-hmm. But I don't think so. For at no point is she thinking I have to mingle with his parents during the day while he's gone. I think to her, it's like, we're going to do us. They're going to do them. But it's really a harsh reality that she's going to find because Brandon keeps hitting the snooze button and he's not shared any of this at all with her.
Let me ask you, so we have this 30-minute, I don't know if that was the surprise or not. I guess that maybe I'll invite the listeners to let us know if they their theories as well. But, all right, 30 minutes goes by. Mom, probably pissed. Dad is probably pissed because mom is pissed also that they finally show up. Mom starts asking some hard-hitting questions. Pooya, do you think that this was punitive, that, hey, that I wasn't going to bring it up, but now since you've disobeyed the rules, now it's time to get on the hot seat?
Maybe, but that scares me because if this was punishment for 30 minutes, what would have happened if it was 45 minutes? Like, what would have gone down then? Like, what is the next step here? Mm. She genuinely, I feel like she emptied the clip on her. Like, she didn't save any of it. I think genuinely Brandon thought, I'm going to have time, which, fair enough, he should have the time. But no, she gave everything to Julia. It was,
I think, rough. He should have known this was coming. I mean, I'll speak as the only person I'll oversimplify this. I'll speak as the only woman in the room.
Yes.
In our podcast room. Birth control is such an intense thing to put in your body. For those who, like, think, oh, well, lots of people are on it. It really,
she doesn't want to drink the medicine.
I know that line is funny, but, like, birth control is really intense. And no one should be deciding that except for the woman and her, between the woman and her doctor. Like, I know that this is funny, but it's also terrible, like truly terrible. And I understand the concern. Clearly, Brandon is not financially independent, and that is a concern with the parents about a grandchild. But this idea that, like, the sex was so taboo that they didn't talk about it with him, so he doesn't wear, he thinks wearing a condom is uncomfortable, but he clearly too wants this girl to get on birth control. And it's like, it's just so offensive. It's so offensive.
Yeah, I don't even restate the official position of this podcast and neither Pooya or myself were saying that. What is wrong with Julia?
Yeah,
why isn't she drinking the medicine that she has an appointment? What is wrong with this woman?
I totally know. I just want to reiterate that timing aside, sure, Brandon thought he should have more time. Sure, the mom, but I think the mom, like, he should have seen this coming. But, like, this is so insane of the mom to insist that she get on the pill.
Well, before we even get there, we start the conversation with, just so you know, you're not going to sleep in the same room. Here's mom dropping that bomb on Julia.
We thought it'd be a really good idea that you have your own room.
The music.
Explain.
That was so much room for her to speak.
Yes. No pun intended. A very pregnant pause that left on in the edit there for Julia to just ask.
Explain.
Which I think is so much of what we try to do with this show. So, like, here's something crazy that happened, and then
explain. Do, 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 do.
Yeah. Mom frames it, Hannah, as we thought it was a good idea. You should have your own room. She tries to put a positive spin on it.
I mean, it's all connected. This is why, Brandon, there's a bazillion things to unpack. Her inability, like she says in episode one, oh, I would probably sneak out and like when I was their age. And it's like she's pushing this sex is taboo before marriage while also understanding they're having sex. It's like, this is why at 15, they didn't sit him down and have a sex talk. Like this, so much of it is like,
I think
so
he dodged a bullet with these parents on the sex talk, frankly.
I disagree.
I think he should have got online. I don't know. I think that they do not seem to have all the answers, Hannah.
I just feel like there's this unhealthy thing about sex in this family. Mm-hmm. But also at the same time, I don't know if you guys disagree with me. He is living there. Like they do get, to, I mean, if he's living there, it's like he's essentially, I disagree that it is their business what they do with their bodies. He's also living there. Yeah. And
I mean, he has allowed this kind of behavior to be normalized mm-hmm. within their dynamic. Like he's straight up, we've seen him now in what, two episodes? We've seen three different instances where he's like, if I say something, it's going to do nothing. So I'm just going to say nothing and like roll. Right. With it. So by doing that more and more, anytime she says anything outlandish, he's just been like, okay, cosign. So I feel like it's a lot of him allowing it to happen, but also it's absolutely wild that the parents themselves feel like they're within their rights to have this kind of conversation. Because I do think that the way she phrases it to Julia, it's kind of like when you're telling, you know, you have two kids and you're like, hey, so you're getting your own room now and you should be happy about this. Mm-hmm. No more bunk beds for you guys. Like, that's exciting. Obviously, for this couple, this is the furthest thing they want.
Yeah. And so they sort of frame it as, well, look, our house, our rules. We think that that's fair. And then they really throw Brandon under the bus to Julia of that. Hey, oh, I guess we thought that he was going to tell you. And he's like, well, I was going to. And Dad, Hannah, really lays in. He's like, shame on you, Brandon. You should have said that. Shame on you.
My friend was also like, oh, that was so unfair of them. I think it's fair. I want to defend the dad here. I think it's completely fair. Brandon has put them in a position where they are completely the bad guys. They have to tell her. They do these things. Brandon could have said something. It is their house. Like, I think it's completely ridiculous and it's all unhealthy and very weird. And I've already said my opinion on the birth control thing. Mm-hmm. But in terms of them wanting to sleep in separate rooms, it is their house. Brandon is 27. Is it Brendan or Brandon?
Brandon.
Brandon is 27. And the dad is right. He should have said something. And you could say, well, he was going to like say something the next day. Or this has been going on for months. He literally said, I didn't say anything because like I'd rather her come and then we deal with it. Well, mm-hmm. you know, you have these parents. Mm-hmm. You know the deal. You didn't warn her at all. Then the parents come in and have to be the like bad guys.
Yeah. I wonder that did the parents go out of their way to humiliate him in front of Julia to make sure, like, you know what?
They didn't sleep together that night?
Yes, yes. Ignite the bomb to make sure, like, well, we know one way to make sure that there's going to be some sort of birth control that we can have a say in. We will completely castrate our son in front of his fiance.
Door number three, behind door number three is shame him out of getting anything.
Do you think they're all in the wrong, except maybe Julia?
Julia has done nothing wrong to our knowledge.
Yet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's so far so good.
She's the ingenue right now.
Yeah.
She's the young,
yes,
beautiful lady who is very funny and
our muse.
Yeah.
Yes. And so Julia's like, well, if the problem is that we can't sleep in the same room until we're married, then let's get married tomorrow.
Great,
and everybody laughs
joke.
It off like, ha, 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 joke, ha, ha, ha. I don't know if she was necessarily joking. And then here comes this stupid moron, Brandon, that he comes in over the top, tries to add on to the joke about, oh, maybe we get married.
Can we also have children?
Speaking of children, you guys do not want children right away, right?
Why on earth, Puya, would he even say the C word at this table, and even open the door for a segue to speaking of children.
I feel like this is, he alley-ooped it to get dumped on. It was like, hey, mom, ammo. She like just took it. It was wild. I feel like, Rob, he must have been in such a position where he wasn't really speaking because anything he had to speak of would have been about the topics that he didn't want to address. So when Julia makes a joke, he's like, oh my God, she's laughing. Like, let me get in on this without really thinking what he's saying. Because honestly, though, I did not think the mom was going to be like, well, speaking of children, let me go to the second thing that I wanted to talk about tonight. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I think Brandon should know his parents by now. Also, you're right. I don't think Brandon knows how to tell a joke.
Yeah.
He's so dry in the way he approaches everything.
Yeah.
I think humor could be a really good tool for him, too, with his situation.
He's not funny. He's not funny. What are you going
to
do?
He makes us laugh, but it's at him, not with him.
Yeah.
He needs to change the at to a with, and it'll be okay.
So they start talking about the children. You don't want to have the children right away. She's like, yeah, about 2-3 years for the children. And she does not want to drink the medicine that she makes. She makes that clear. She starts going into a story about, she's like she tries to say to like, oh, look, no. I know what I'm doing because that for, I never had an accident about children. I lived with this guy, and then it's like, oh, we opened up a whole can of worms here with Julia. She knows what she's doing.
The preview suggests that this is all foreshadowing. I'm very curious how this is going to play out.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, she does admit to having, because Brandon has never had sex before her, would be my guess.
That's a safe bet. I would take the bet on that as well.
And I'm not making fun of him for it. I feel like he never kissed anyone before her.
Mm-hmm.
Also safe bet. I would feel okay with both. Yeah.
I think he's never spoken to a woman before her, mm-hmm. other than his mother.
Yeah.
Safe bet still, Puya? All right.
We're 3-for-3 on the bets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She says at the table, this is crazy. This is stupid.
Fair, Julia. Also,
I feel like she really articulates why this is so frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
She says in her confessional, if I go to the doctor and I don't want it, they're going to consider me a bad girl. Also, this is making me the bad guy,
mm-hmm.
Because Brandon can't. I think she's angry.
She's furious.
She's angry in the correct direction, though. And that's why I like Julia. She's not like. She describes how she's uncomfortable by the mom, but she doesn't go like his parents are the worst. She goes, I'm mad at Brandon for putting me in this situation. And that's why I right now like Julia.
Yeah. The other thing that really upsets her is that the dad is like, well, don't you think that this is all fair, Brandon? And he's like, oh, yeah, I mean, I guess when you put it that way, I guess you are right. And she is just so angry at that point. She wanted to say, yeah, screw you, dad. Screw you, mom.
I feel like he hasn't been honest with her as well about his financial situation. Because I do feel like he does feel like he has no choice. And she's like, well, the choice is then to move out. And I don't know. I wonder if that is a thing they have not talked about.
Mm, yeah.
Because he's been taking her on these trips.
Yeah.
Right.
By the end of the episode, she's ready. Like, well, why don't we just get our own place? Why don't we just move out, Puya? And that does not seem like a realistic option for Brandon.
It doesn't. Because Brandon was also, well, like they're, it's kind of fair because, you know, mom agreed to pay for the flight over. Well, I was like, yeah, but wasn't that because you kind of agreed on a contract where if she gets the flight, she gets to come on the airport trip and you guys get a nice cushy hotel room alone together? Like you agreed to take the short term pleasure instead of the long term agony is the exchange that you're getting here, because this is not going to be a good situation for you. And I don't know how they're going to dig out of this debt for them to move out, because really it just seems like he's dead to rights with the parents. Like he's not even willing to speak and explain why he doesn't want it. Because the thing is, I 100% agree with Hannah, where Julia's angry at the right person, because he has not talked to his parents. He's not open with them. He just turns on his video, like he turns on the Nintendo Switch and tunes them out instead, which helps nobody.
Yeah.
Well, I also think he seems like, to give him one compliment, he seems like he works hard on this farm, but he works for the parents. Like, right. There's no financial
independence. I thought he's an exterminator.
He does both. He wakes up on the farm and then exterminates. Those are his two things.
Mm-hmm.
It's unclear what his – it just seems like it's all a family business. I might be wrong, but the impression I get is a lot of the financials are tied together.
Hmm.
Well, so he does the extermination stuff, but the plan, the long-term plan is that he is supposed to take over the family business. So the farm will become his farm.
Still ties him to them very directly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because this isn't a classic – well, this isn't a classic 90 Day Fiancé case of like, well, this guy clearly doesn't work. Like, there is some work ethic there. It's just all confusingly tied into the parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This was another line that really made me laugh with Brandon talking to Julia about the birth control situation.
Oh, yeah.
Teach you otherwise about some of the things that you... maybe it's misconception what you have about like birth control pills.
Yeah, maybe it could be a misconception.
She should say maybe you have a misconception about condoms, dude.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that wasn't wordplay from Brandon, you don't think?
The dude couldn't set up a joke earlier, Rob. There's no way the wordplay with him is present. he
wait,
skipped
did I miss the wordplay? What's the wordplay?
Misconception.
Oh, That was not intentional.
No, probably not. Probably not. But yeah, she's furious, and that she's sort of like does really zing him at the end of all this. She says, "Hey, we won't be needing to worry about a pregnancy tonight.
Boom.
Because business hours are over."
Yeah, good timing. Again, you can tell she's funny. And just imagine as her English gets better, I'm sure in native Russian, she's even quicker.
Probably. But does that speak to then maybe do we have a misunderstanding about the 30 minutes of missing Brandon?
What happened? It was something about the box.
Listen, maybe they weren't doing pregnancy related stuff. Mm. Maybe pregnancy adjacent stuff. So not down. The whole,
pregnancy.
You're making
pregnancy
Rob
adjacent.
Rob is like, I don't know what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
Rob is bright red.
Sadly, I do not. Very sad story.
That was my favorite part of the episode, which is ironically, it was like the last scene with the look of disappointment in Brandon's face as he laid on the bed, just like alone in like a little like he's going down a water slide, like he like shriveled up his body a little bit.
But I think Julia, I think it's smart to be like, I'm not gonna be intimate with you if you're not upfront with your parents and stuff. But I think she's not understanding how long this kid has gone without it and how he's not just gonna cave.
Well, could we do predictions for Brandon and Julia? Puya, where do you think this goes?
Where do I think it goes? I mean, I think she is not going to step down. She's going to force his hand to do something. Obviously, his parents are going to force him. Are we going to see Brandon like step up to either side? Maybe not. But I think if I'm going to like put my foot down on a prediction here, I think he's going to side with Julia. Because like what Hannah said, I do think they want to be together. I am rooting for them for sure, for more than just the entertainment purposes. I think that his care for Julia is going to end up being in a spot where he has to talk with his family. Now, the family's kind of like the final boss, where like the mom, like the dad is like the second to last, and then the mom's the final boss. So I feel like them combined could be hard for him, but I just can't imagine him turning on Julia. There's no way.
So is that with the parents' blessing or without the parents' blessing? So you're right. I don't think that he's ever going to be able to like say no to the temptation of Julia. So do mom and dad eventually just give in? Or Hannah, do you think that then he and Julia have to go out on their own?
So I think Brandon and Julia are going to be together for a while. I think they like each other. I think Julia likes him, and I think she likes being in America. I'll just say that.
Both those things could be true.
Both those, like I said, I think you can have, like The Bachelor, if you go on The Bachelor and you want Instagram followers and you also happen to fall for the person, it doesn't make you a bad person if you have multiple motives. I think the previews have hinted at some sort of pregnancy scare, if not an actual pregnancy. So my prediction is this whole birth control conversation is going to lead to more baby stuff. I don't know exactly how it's going to play out. But,
she says she has a system.
She has a system, I know. But I think that there's going to be some sort of baby breakdown. And I really don't. It's really hard to imagine Brandon stepping up to his parents. I'm hoping we learn more about if it's even possible for him to move out. But we see in one preview last time them running naked across the farm. I mean, I think rules are going to be broken. And
a party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. We'll see. We'll see where that goes. Puya, anything else about Brandon and Julia?
Not that I can see in my notes. I just, you know, it's when there are three returning couples in from either parts of the franchise back in, and you as a newcomer are the poster, that gives me more hope and excitement. Yeah, they're the next breakout. If they end up being together the longer they are, I could see them on more shows. I can see them on the next season even. They're just the gift that keeps on giving right now, and I'm very excited because I will tell you this, Rob, if I'm making a prediction for the season, they're going to be the couple that's not going to, they're going to be on every episode. They're not going to be snubbed an episode, skipping an episode. There's no bye week for Brandon.
Good.
Yeah.
We've still got a ton more 90 Day Fiance to talk about with Puya and Hannah, including Tariq and Hazel and everybody else that's coming up. But first, let me take a moment and thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Quip. And you know, there are two types of people in this world. Those of us who brush and floss every day, and those who just might start, thanks to Quip's new refillable floss pack. Now, you've heard me talk about Quip for years on the podcast. That's the electric toothbrush you hear about all the time, but it's their sleek, reusable floss pick that you'll want to use next. I got the chance to try out the new Quip refillable floss pick, and it's unlike any other floss I've ever used before. Usually it's like, you know, the plastic thing, you're pulling fishing line out, and you got to wrap it around your finger, and it breaks, you got to throw it in garbage. Or then there's people have that the pick, but then they break. You use like a million of them. They snap all the time, and then you waste so much plastic. You see them on the street. It's disgusting. With the new Quip refillable floss pick, this is the way that people are going to floss in the future. You've got your Quip handle, and then you load in the floss, you pop that baby in, and you are flying through flossing. You'll never go back to the old way. The durable handle is easy to guide, restrings with a click, and comes with a compact mirrored dispensing case for on the go. Plus, a single refillable pod replaces over 180 single-use plastic flossers, so it's better for your teeth and your environment. Pair that floss with the perfect electric toothbrush for adults and kids. Quip has the simple guiding feature you need. 30-second pulses tell you when it's time to move on to the next quadrant, and you can personalize your routine with 9 premium brush colors. But hot tip, don't get Natalie the purple one, okay? Plus, anti-cavity toothpaste for every taste in mint and watermelon, too. And you can get amazing rewards for brushing every single day with the Quip Smart Electric Toothbrush. That's the one that I have. It connects to the Quip free app, so you can track your habits as you go. Quip also delivers brush heads, floss, and refillable toothpaste every 3 months from that's 90 days, from $5. Shipping is free, so you can save money and skip the store. Bring delight to your everyday brushing and join the 5 million mouths brushing with Quip, starting at just $25 this holiday season. Check out Quip's exclusive deals. And if you go to getquip.com/Rob right now, you'll get your first refill for free. That's your first refill for free at getquip.com/Rob. That's getquip.com/Rob. Quip, better oral health made simple with Quip. Now let's get back to more 90 Day Fiance. Hannah,
Yeah.
You're the guest here. Which couple would you like to talk about next?
I know which one I would like to talk about next. And let's go to our man, Tariq.
Tariq, yes. Let's talk Tarzal.
We need to talk Tariq and Hazel because I have a lot of thoughts on multiple things about
And don't forget about
Minty,
too.
And there's one thing that makes me angry.
Yes. Don't forget about Minty, too.
Minty. I want to say up front, I know this isn't like an action place to start with, but I just want to say to all the listeners, just because your partner is bisexual does not equate it with being an open relationship. And the fact that this is never addressed, like she came out as bisexual, then she said she wanted an open relationship. That was something I had to process, is insane to me. Like immediately he's like, she's bisexual and wants a girlfriend. So I guess that's what bisexuality is. Is so mind-boggling. And I'm not saying it can't be that, but what the way this man thinks and the way certain things are just never spoken, I have so many thoughts on this. I'm so glad we're in the Tariq section. Let's do it.
But yeah, how did they sleep on Tariq and Hazel in week one?
I feel like they... I'm telling you, when I saw the three couples that came back, this was the one I was excited about. This is the man I've wanted you to meet. This is something I've warned you about.
Yeah.
And I feel like they didn't want to use both of their – because I'm just going to put it out there. I'm pretty sure that they're going to be the second biggest storyline of the season.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind. They didn't want to like put both them and Brandon and Julie in the first episode. Okay. I think that they were trying to like save one for late.
Okay. Because
you're glad we're in Tariq next. It seems like you agree, Puya, with my desire.
So do
to go
I. Tariq and Hazel 1.0.
Loving it.
For speed.
Loving it.
Yes. Slower is better. Don't want to miss a thing.
Both Brandon and Tariq were at
1.0. Yes.
Right.
1x for them.
There's just too much. I can't imagine you speeding up Tariq's explanation to his friend. We'll get there. But there were so many things in order of the story unfolding. I don't think you could capture it at a faster
speed. Well, let's just set this up a little bit.
Yeah, let's
set it up. Help out with the backstory for our listeners who are just checking out the podcast, but maybe didn't watch the episode. Tariq is 46. We learned something about Tariq. His favorite thing is Thailand. He loves everything from Thailand. He went there. It changed his life. He is a rapper. Puya, he has beats.
He does have beats, Rob. This episode, audience that is listening to the podcast only, Tariq, the 46-year-old man, is in the studio. He's in the stew.
Yeah.
And he's laying a track on a fat beat. I'm only going to assume that the song title was Hot Sauce, given the amount of time he said this. Obviously, someone added us, Rob, and asked if you would rap the lyrics. You don't have to rap the lyrics. I'm not going to make you rap the lyrics. Do you want to like talk through the lyrics?
Yes,
though?
I do.
Okay. So first line. Also, there's like a bit of a cutoff because I have to like screenshot this, but I have most of it. Okay. Girl, you hot sauce. Hella hot sauce. Something little ghost pepper burn my mouth off. Mouth, M-U-F, M-O-U-F, not M-O-U-T-H. Mm-hmm. And then, girl, you hot sauce, hella hot sauce. I can't breathe when you top off, cough. So.
Cough.
What are these feelings?
See, now, that
was
pre-COVID. I think that you would not, you could go with your top off, cough now.
I think that would
be unsettling.
Yeah. Although, I mean, when he goes to meet the friend, we find out that, you know, he's talking about.
He was concerned. Wait, yeah.
This was my second, not even second. This was also, when I was watching the episode overall, I was like, where in COVID are we?
Yeah.
We're not really. And then he says that we'll get to it, but he reached out to this girl in Thailand because he had heard
Minty.
COVID was bad over there. And my brain, I was just like, oh my gosh, this was the point where we all heard about COVID. Mm-hmm. We didn't expect it to come, or at least I didn't. So it suddenly put it on the COVID timeline, which is COVID, because in the previews, we see them talk about COVID, but that COVID is coming, that it exists, that people are worrying. They don't expect it to reach the US. That was the other complete, it suddenly put it in a space and time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a big thing with 90 Day is that all the couples are not on the same timeline. So it's not like, okay, this episode is January 5th and everyone's January 5th. So they'll bounce around. It's like Tariq, now we're talking about like his timeline has introduced it. Whereas like maybe the Rebecca and Ziad won't have gotten there yet. So it's definitely a thing they do where it's like, it's not clear, but you get little hints and stuff, which kind of like, you know, as someone who likes detective work to like do little things like that. I like that. Yeah. I enjoy that.
And I think we're probably going to get intimately familiar with how each person on the show acts in regards to any sort of safety protocols. Spoiler alert, I don't know if Uncle Bo is going to be a big mask guy. We'll see how the season plays out.
Yeah, I think you're on the right track with that. I would assume so. I would assume we'll get to. I have some dirty laundry on Uncle Bo.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh my gosh. Wait, we got to get to it. We'll get to it. But we're yes, Tariq. The COVID mention, really, my heart was just like, oh gosh.
Yeah.
Even just seeing the crowded scenes, and we'll get to it too, of like New Orleans, and I was just there was some sadness in some of these feelings.
I just realized I got so excited about this rap that I completely ignored giving the backstory to the audience of Tariq and Hazel. So Tariq ends up, he's very much into the Asian culture. We learned this about his love for Thailand.
Yeah.
He ends up meeting a couple, he's dated two women from Thailand is what he described. Yep. And they didn't work. He broadened his horizon, went to an Asian dating website, met Hazel, who hails from the Philippines. Yep. And then in this season, Rob, so he goes to the Philippines, he meets up with her. She very much, I think, doesn't expect him to be him. Like I think he was older. He was a little bit, his size was a little bit different than what she thought. She wasn't feeling the connection right away. We saw in the episode.
Yeah, she made a pillow fort. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And they abided by the pillow fort for sure. Mm-hmm. Tariq obviously didn't expect this. A big not mentioned in this episode, Rob, and I hope we meet him because he was the breakout star of this couple, is Tariq's brother, Dean. Yeah. Who was very much against this relationship, very much against Tariq's decisions. And he flew to Philippines and like they met up and there was a big blowout there. He's been a star on the Pillow Talk series. So we'll meet Dean at some point. Okay. But basically, the rest of the episode showed like he meets the parents. He sees where Hazel's from. And Hazel comes from a little bit more of a poorer part of the
Is this fact, Puya? I don't want to say this when if it's incorrect, but doesn't Hazel reveal to him when he's there that she's homeless?
So there was some, I feel like I forgot about that part, but yeah, she was pretty much, so with Hazel, there was a lot of murkiness because we found out she has a son. The son lives with the ex-husband. She is homeless, I believe. Then didn't he get her a place? He got something set up for her, I feel like, on the way out.
So, or was there controversy because he didn't? I think he did. This was not the most comfortable of the 90-day couples at the time, because sometimes on this show there's a fine line between the hilarity of the show and is this a situation where this person has no options and we're watching something horrific? And I feel like this is one of these couples where it may have walked that line. Am I wrong, Puya, or am I remembering this differently?
I feel like with Hazel, it definitely felt like she was like, okay. Like, it didn't feel like she was like always like there with him. It felt like he was always there with her, but she was always like, okay.
Because when he proposed, he played a rap of his, and she looked miserable.
Watching that recap, Hannah, I'm convinced to this day that she didn't understand what was happening, and he had to tell her, listen to the lyrics, and she didn't even pick up on the lyrics. Rob, what did you think about seeing that proposal, the infamous rap song / proposal?
His runaway girl.
Yeah. No, that was wild. I don't really know. Like, is the rap game how Tariq is making his money?
I hope.
Like,
not.
What is his day job?
No, he has a day job. I forget what it was, but he definitely does rap on the side. There's an extensive. You can find all his music on YouTube. He definitely has a decent.
Does he have a Patreon?
Not the first, and hopefully not the last 90 Day Fiance singer rapper.
Mm-hmm. No, there are plenty. The streets are paved, littered.
Baby girl Lisa.
Yeah,
baby girl.
Could
Lisa
Dwight Squall open for Tariq, or would Tariq open for Dwight Squall?
Tariq's a headliner. Dwight Squall better be okay opening up the act because he's got,
Puya, does Tariq have a rap name?
He goes by Tariq. His name is good enough for him, yeah.
Okay. Tariq also has a sword, Hannah, and we get to see some of Tariq's swordplay, and I'm like, okay, yeah. So all right, he's into Thailand culture, he's got the sword, and then cut to, no pun intended, Tariq is in the kitchen, and my guy is making a salad with the samurai sword, like John Belushi.
It's, I feel like Tariq has a sense of humor, unlike Brandon. And I feel like this shot is him having a sense of humor.
Okay.
I think he's in on the joke with the sword and the fruit.
I was just like baffed. I was like, wait, you imported this sword. The sword means a lot to you, clearly. I feel like, to me, I was like, are you like devaluing the sword by putting it over, like cutting
it up? It reminds me of Gabe from The Office being obsessed with Asian culture and having his whole section of his apartment being like different stuff.
I don't remember. I remember being like, it's very clear that, you know, Tariq has been trying to find someone in Asia from the first. I do not remember his fascination with Thailand to this way. I feel like, especially for Rob, like you're coming into this, the first half, you're like, Thailand. You're like, oh, Hazel must be from Thailand, perhaps.
No,
not even.
But Minta is. There's so much to unpack here. We can keep going. Andy has a daughter.
Yeah. I feel like the daughter went unmentioned in that first season too. I don't remember much about her.
Yeah. She's also on the autism spectrum.
I was surprised to see Tariq on the series, if I'm being honest, because him and his brother were on Pillow Talk, and suddenly they disappeared from Pillow Talk. I think they wanted to do their own thing. So I was pleasantly surprised to see Tariq back.
Okay. All right. So we learn about Hazel, that he has a connection with her, but also she is bisexual and wants to know, are there any hot girls where you live? Where does he live? Southern California?
So his studio, Flagship Studios.
Yes.
Seem to be in San Francisco.
Okay.
Flagship Studios is based in San Francisco.
Okay.
But I don't know that he's in San Francisco. Okay.
Yeah. So Hazel wants to know, are there any hot girls there? Because she wants to have a girlfriend.
To be clear, I support her desire to have a girlfriend. I support it. But it's just so weird to me that it's never mentioned. Oh, and then she said she wanted an open relationship. Like, it seems like he's struggling with her bisexuality, but not her desire for an open relationship, an open marriage, which is the most confusing thing. Her bisexuality does not automatically mean she gets a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But, do you guys feel the same way? Is that...
Yeah, I don't remember if that was coming from Tariq or if he was telling us that she had expressed a desire to have a girlfriend. I have in my notes, Hazel wants to have a girlfriend.
I haven't heard it directly from her. I feel like he's been the one who in the retail to the friend later. And then in this conversation in the confessional after makes it seem like she wants something, where what she asked was, are there any hot girls there? And
but
also,
Kuna, does it not feel weird to you that he doesn't say I'm weird about her wanting an open relationship? Instead, he just keeps saying I'm grappling with her being bisexual, but never mentions that like her being bisexual in no way means that their relationship is automatically open.
Right. Like when he's talking about it, I feel like he's not expressing a difference in the two. He's kind of like, they're both one thing and I'm like trying to deal. Mm-hmm. Whereas I do agree. It feels like he's still in stage one of like coming to terms with her, you know, telling him that she's bisexual and not even getting to part two of, is that even a thing that's happening? Or in his head, if you're bisexual, that means you want a third person in the party. Like, is that weird to me.
Yeah. It's like, there's no, like, step one, let me accept that my girlfriend's bisexual. Step two, she's now asking this to be an open relationship. Let me address this. To him, it's all one thing, mm-hmm. which is so odd to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I got the sense that to put it maybe in Brandon's parents' terms, that he didn't have an issue with him, Hazel, and any other woman sharing a bedroom at the house. That was not the issue, but I think that he did not necessarily want there to be any sort of a emotional or whatever else relationship between Hazel and another party that he was not necessarily privy or a part of.
Well, the Minty thing, again, was interesting to me because he said what fell apart with the Minty. So Minty was the girl from Thailand who he was talking to. See, there's so much to unpack. You can't do this at anything but 1.0 speed.
Mm-hmm.
So him and Hazel had a falling out when she apparently got pregnant, had a miscarriage, but he thought that she had terminated the pregnancy, and so he stopped talking to her.
I thought that this was kind of messed up also. That I thought this was kind of bad on Tariq. I think that, yeah, she had taken one pregnancy test, it came back positive, and then she took two others that came back negative, and he really assumed that she terminated the pregnancy without talking to him, and then ultimately this is what they got into the fight over.
It's so layered because he also says women should be able to do what they want with their body, that the issue for him was the honesty and communication. There was a lot to unpack in one sentence.
Mm-hmm.
He says each sentence has like so much in it.
Yeah. So, but ultimately it turned out she was not, she went again, and based on the story that we get, that she was never pregnant. It was just that.
But while he was taking a break from Hazel, he spoke to Minty. And then when he reconciled with Hazel, basically what I understood was that he brought Minty into their relationship because Hazel found her attractive, but then Hazel got mad because Minty seemed more into him. But again, this seems like a fundamental misunderstanding about what sexuality is, because he never expressed that Minty was bisexual or anything. So of course she would be more into him in the relationship. There was just, I feel like I don't think he doesn't want to be accepting. It just every stage, I feel like he doesn't understand sexuality.
That's an interesting point.
Feel the same way?
That's an interesting point. Do you feel like that maybe he brandoned it with Minty of the like, hey, I'm going to go there. Hazel wants to meet up with Minty. Maybe that he let Minty know, maybe, or he was going to let her know when they got there about what was this arrangement.
Oh, man. And then
Minty thought she's just going to go meet Tariq somewhere.
Possibly.
Yeah, it's very fascinating. I mean, this is honestly, we've watched a whole season of this couple, and this is the most complex it's ever been. Mm-hmm. This is the most information we've ever been given. And we got it all in like one go, it feels like.
Yeah,
but
we got it in like four sentences with this friend who was his tenant.
Yeah, I thought that was a weird relationship too, of like, yeah, I'm going to go meet up with my friend who's my former tenant.
There was so much to unpack in this one line.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they've known each other for like years at this point from what we felt. But I love that in all the people that he could have shared this info with first, she's the one he shared it with. So it makes me think either you're very close or just in the spur of the moment, you were like, I got to confess something to somebody. Yeah.
And she says she's only ever met his ex, who he has the kid with.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And he hadn't been with anyone really since. Is what?
Well, he said he dated two women from Thailand, but I guess maybe he was with them overseas, so she wouldn't have met them.
Maybe.
Right. Like
maybe.
A long distance, same with the Hazel. Let's start.
You were breaking down the lyrics, though, and I wonder, did you get to the second verse? Because I feel like he stole a Hamilton line, and I might be wrong.
Okay.
Let me see.
Let's explore this.
So something Baton Rouge, but in trying to make some little my little yeah.
Oh, before the vodka line, I feel like there's a line.
I can't see the vodka line on my screen, but the line
I'm
vodka.
I'm playing it on my computer, so if you give me a second, I'll put subtitles on, and I'll find the line I'm talking about. So. Okay.
I don't know what.
If I go quiet, it's because I'm finding this thing.
Okay, I don't know what the lyrics.
Yo, can you hear me in the headphones? Oh, I shouldn't be. Let's make some magic today. All right, he goes. Oh, wait, no, my name is Tariq. I'm 46 years old. You guys keep talking. I'll find it.
Yeah.
Oh wait, here we go.
Yeah.
Producer says, "Here we go, girl. You're hot sauce, hella hot sauce. Oh, pretty little." Ghost pepper, burn my mouth off. Girl, you're hot sauce, hella hot sauce. So fire, I can't see when you're top off. Okay, now they go to his interview. Wow, I just realized that he goes, I love music. I'm an excellent rapper. He judges himself. I'm sorry if I'm jumping the pistol, but look how ass looks bumping my pistol. Why am I reading?
Did he say pistol? Like, he rhymes pistol with pistol?
I think this is, I'm going to look this up before I'm a gentleman and a scholar. So I'm a blame it on the, I think vodka. I'm a gentleman and a scholar. Isn't that a Hamilton line? And I mean, I think that's a common phrase,
a gentleman and a scholar.
Yeah, that maybe you're right. Hamilton. But I feel like it's wrapped in Hamilton.
I'm more concerned. Did he rhyme pistol and pistol?
So looking at the lyric sheet, it says, sorry if I'm jumping the pistol, comma, but, and then the next line, yeah, you dance, you gristle, be bumping my pistol. So he does rhyme pistol with pistol.
Well, that's, you know, look, I am no authority on the rap game. But I feel like you can't do that, Tariq.
It's not great. It's weak.
It's not great.
You gotta not be weak. Yeah.
I do want to say that I think that Tariq seems like he'd be a pretty cool landlord.
Oh yeah, if Tariq's my landlord, I might consider not moving just for the comedy of it all.
Seems cooler than my landlord. My landlord would rap so bad it would not even. I mean, Tariq would just blow him out of the water.
That's good. I like that. Rob.
Gentleman and a scholar is the phrase, but from Alexander Hamilton, he plays with it better. Lin-Manuel might be a better rapper than Tariq in his lyricism. In the Caribbean by Providence and Poverty, in Squalor, grew up to be a hero and a scholar.
Here, you want to hear the rap game here from Tariq himself?
Yes, please.
From
the horse's mouth. Okay, I saying it not enough for the listener?
Yeah, here, let me cue this up. Here's Virginia Beach, Flagship Studios.
Yo, you can hear me in the headphones?
Yeah, bro, I got you.
Dope, let's make some magic today.
Bro, wait till you hear this. My name is Tariq, I'm 46 years old, and I live in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Here we go.
I bet you could do a pretty bomb podcast in Tariq's rap studio.
Oh, yeah.
Flagship Studios.
Yeah.
Your hot sauce, hella hot sauce. Pretty little ghost pepper burn my mouth out. Girl, your hot sauce, hella hot sauce. So far, can't see when you top out. I'm a passionate person, and I have many great loves. I love music. I'm actually an excellent rapper.
How about that, Puya? I'm an excellent rapper.
Gotta endorse yourself when you can.
Yourself, who will believe in you?
Yeah. Okay. Let's see if we get to the second lyric.
Sorry if I'm jumping the pistol, but look how your ass crystal bumping my pistol. I'm a gentleman and a scholar, so I'ma blame it on the lemon twist vodka. I love working out.
Yeah.
I love that he takes that from this song, Blame It on the Booze, which I think is T-Pain and Jamie Foxx. Yep. And it ends with alcohol because, like, the letter A. So the fact that he took the
vodka.
Lemon.
He's subverting your expectations.
Puya, you're so right. Yeah. This is why Puya is an expert. You just blew my mind.
That. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, when I heard that, I'm like, Tariq, I was like ready. I was hyping with you. And then you went, the letter L, come on.
Was there he could have gone apple vodka? He could have made it work.
Appletini.
Appletini. Now, Puya and Rob, Amstel? Who did better? The clip of Tariq rapping or me reading the captions?
It was Hannah.
Yeah, there's no competition here. There is no competition here. You got this. You got
a little messing on the mic.
Yeah.
I'm here for that.
Okay. I'm up for more of Tariq's tracks. I hope we get to hear more throughout the season.
And I love about this Tariq segment that there's so much to unpack that I don't even know that we went linearly. Like, there's just so much going on with this guy.
I wanted to bring up the specific line. So the first time him and Hazel do a video call in this episode, he's like, oh, is it hot there? And she's like, yeah, it's very hot. And he says, you're not even sweating. That's because you were so cool. Do you think you could use that line successfully? Or do you think you could get away with saying you're not even sweating? That's because you're so cool.
To my wife or to a different person?
I would say your wife.
Yeah. I mean, I could say it to her, but I think she was just, what? No. What?
Liana hasn't seen the episode yet. I might try and slide into the text with that. And
do you
see
two watch regularly?
Yeah, so we watch regularly. I obviously watch it on my own because I got to take notes and I'm watching it way earlier than her in the week. But she is watching as well. She's like 2-3 days behind me on it.
Yeah, I was too busy watching Sequester last night to watch it with Nicole.
Yeah, I thought Sequester stopped happening. Am I wrong?
No, that's different. That's different. Oh. Sequester season 4 is on Sunday nights. Yeah, it was very good.
Liana listened. First, she watched the episode, listened to the podcast last week, Rob, and she was like, I'm very annoyed with you. You are not giving accurate information. Like, this specific thing, Yeah, like when I talked about Natalie not having enough days, like 20 days ish, she was like,
yeah,
you should remember clearly that that's because it's from the date of when she had her medical checkup. I'm like, that was in December. Why would I remember that? I'm here now. Like, I'm not going to remember that bit of information. But Liana, very passionate about the
fact check.
Yeah, yeah. So,
am I going to get messages from Liana after this podcast?
No, she'll only, if I say anything wrong, know that we'll be on a week delay, but I'll give you the accuracy the next week because I'll have someone in my ear.
Yeah.
Liana, please let me know everything that I said wrong. I will be personally hurt by every critique, but I'll take it.
Yeah. Only if I did a Sopranos podcast would I get that kind of fact checking from my roommate.
But we're talking about highbrow shows, like 90 Day Fiancé, not the Sopranos, not this, what's the walk and talk political show?
The West Wing,
The West Wing. We're talking about 90 Day Fiancé.
Yes, okay. There was one other line that that really tickled me where he's talking about his relationship with Minty. And how different it was from Hazel. And he talked about his relationship with Minty was so refreshing. And I said, I would imagine. That's why they call her that. It's very refreshing.
My favorite thing now quickly with this podcast, Rob, is you finding the wordplay that I'm pretty sure they didn't figure out, but they did. Mm-hmm. Right. So with the misconception and now with the Minty, loving both of them.
Maybe,
Rob. Ah, you're such a professional.
It's probably just me.
A treat.
But it tickles me.
This is so much fun.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'm so happy that you're here, Hannah.
No, I'm really glad. It's really
a dream
fun.
Booking
I love
for the 90 Day Fiancé wrap up.
Well, as someone who introduced you, I remember Rob being like, "Well, what should I start with?" Way back in the day, one should I start with? What I don't understand, and now to see you so passionately talking about it, it's like watching my child get the K-1 visa.
Yeah. Speaking of children, Hannah, can we talk birth control real quick? No, that's a mom segue. All right.
That is the mom segue.
Anything else that you want to say about Tariq? Tarzell. What do you think about the portmanteau
the
name?
I'm into the bling. I think you should always have your couple name in a necklace.
Mm-hmm. Love that Tariq's fashion sense and accessory sense is straight out of 2003. I love that he's still there. He's rocking the chain, the backwards cap. What do you think about his attire next week when he's going to go meet her at the airport?
Oh, yeah. Look at that suit.
What's he wearing?
He's like an all like baby blue suit, right?
Now I
have
to. Yeah. Puya, is it too late for the holiday bling Puyana like nameplates for people to wear?
I feel like first I would have to be okay with wearing it to make other people wear it. I don't know if I'd be comfortable doing that. I feel like I'm not in that part of my relationship despite being together for as long as we have. I don't know.
You been together?
Let's see. About closing in on 3 years now. About
3 years.
She your wife? These are all things that I shouldn't be asking.
Yes, we actually went through the K-1 visa process. That's how I made it here. Yeah. Yeah, so
kind of shaking her head, she doesn't believe it.
Yeah, no, actually, we actually went through the K-1 visa for me to move to America.
Wait, so you are actually an expert on 90 Day Fiancé?
Actually,
he's Mr. 90 Day Fiancé.
How?
Yeah,
there's so much to unpack here. The first question I have is
who
was
your disapproving
airport
friend?
Arrival?
Yeah.
Oh my god, so many. I told Rob before this started. I want to be cast as the skeptical friend.
I feel like that's a good role to be in. Yeah.
Wait, who was going where and who was moving where?
So I lived in Canada and then I moved here through the process.
Are there a lot of Canadians on the 90 Day Fiancé TV show? I feel like that. Is it not exotic enough?
Because I mean, with the Canadians, like my old roommate, he also ended up moving here and marrying his significant other in the city. But he's like Canadian, whereas I lived in Canada. My passport and everything's still Iranian. He moved. He just like got up and moved. I didn't have that luxury of like, okay, let's have it. Mm-hmm. Where like I come here for a month. I wasn't allowed in. So it was like, all right, well, we're doing the process because we're happy together and we want to keep being happy together. But then second, so I can live with you because I don't have that luxury of like for us going on a trial basis or anything.
How did you meet? Through podcast stuff?
We met through this very network. We both entered a competition for podcasting. She came in third? I came in somewhere right before third. So then we bonded over that.
Your 90 Day Fiancé story could have promoted RHAP?
Yes.
That would have been like how we met. I downloaded a podcast app.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing we've joked about. Leon's like always like, we should have signed up. I'm like, we're not even remotely interesting compared to these people. If anything, I watch this show to validate my choices in life. I'm like, look, I'm not like this person, this person, this person. I'm doing well in life. Everything's good.
Yeah.
Did you have a countdown clock when you got there, even without the show? Were you like, let's make it like the show, though? Let's do, okay, we're on day 87.
Let's tick, inject. Tick, okay. Tick, tick, tick. So we've got disapproving phone call with mom at 4 o'clock. Okay, yeah. Good.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I have so many more questions.
I'll answer.
You're the couple I want to go to next. Your airport arrival.
Puya and Leon are 1.0 speed, everybody.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Yes. That's the biggest endorsement I could ever get.
Slow down your podcast feed whenever they're on.
Oh man.
Together or apart.
How many days had you spent together before doing the K-1 visa process?
So we got to a point where we were doing a trip about once a month or once every like month and a half where she would travel. We would go to Montreal was our spot because I lived in Ottawa, but Montreal was like closer for her driving. And then I would get a trip out of Ottawa, which is a treat to me. So we would meet for about like 2-3 days at a time. If there was a holiday, obviously longer, like 4 or 5 days. But yeah, I think cumulatively, we counted it. It did not end up being more than like the 90 days that we would have gotten with the visa. So like not that much. Maybe I would have go with somewhere close to 2 months in person. Yeah.
And where are you guys now in the U.S.?
We are in a lovely Connecticut.
Oh, that's a great place to be right now.
Yeah, not complaining.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right.
How did I not know this before joining the podcast?
So we haven't talked about it much. Like it's been one of those things where I think it's like come up in passing on a podcast or two, but like not in a way where we've like sat down to talk about it really. So I would imagine not everyone knows the exact nature of the relationship, but they do now. So hello.
Do you feel like the 90 Day Fiancé gives the K-1 visa process a bad name? Like, does it make it sort of a joke or make it seem like it's opportunistic? Because obviously yours was very pure.
Well, like for me, it's the only hard part for me is sometimes you're like, look at the odd jobs that got approved the visa. Because like for me, to get serious for a second, given my passport and everything, I got rejected. And then I had to wait a year. I didn't get like completely rejected, but I had to wait a year to get another interview in. And they took a lot more information from me. They wanted like every passport I've ever had, like all my like social media handles, just to like do like triple, quadruple background checks on me. So my process took about a whole year longer than anyone else's would have.
Wow. Wait, what year did you start it?
We applied, let's see, start of 2019 is when I had my first interview. And like, so about the summer before is when we started the process and then got rejected or like they put me on hold pretty much. And then this, it was February of 2020 when I got approved and then I moved a month later.
There was a line in episode 1, who decides that this is 90 days? And I shouted, TLC does. But really, who does decide that? And do you feel like that was the right amount of time? I'm sorry. I mean, then we can get back to the couples.
I didn't know.
This is good.
Yeah. No, for us, it's kind of like, so, you know, obviously the show treats it as like this 90 days, a test of the relationship. Do we want to go through with it? Whereas we already knew we were going to do it. So the 90 days didn't mean much because it was like, when I get there, we're going to like official, make everything official. And like, that's it. Then we can, because then after that, you got to go through the process of, you know, applying for all your other stuff, your work permits, your like permanent residence and all that stuff. So for us, it was like 90 days is like, we don't need the 90 days. If anything, the sooner we do it, the sooner we apply for the other stuff anyways. Whereas the show does treat it as like, this is a test. Let me see if we gel together. But like the reality for us is we had seen each other a lot more often. Like we're seeing each other a month at a time. We're talking 3 hours a day. We're both involved in the podcasting community. We share the same circle of friends. So we were pretty much like everything besides from spending like every night in the same bed sleeping Brandon style. We were not in a position where a lot of things were very different. Obviously, having lived together now for close to 9 months, there's moments where I'm like, oh yeah, you know what? Like it was a little oversighted to not think that we would have disagreements here, here, and here. But like, it's been a very smooth transition. So it's
probably why you wouldn't have gotten cast.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like the biggest beef would have been, why are you buying all these vegetables without a plan? Like that's not really that big of a storyline.
Why do you forget these facts that when you go on a podcast?
You buy a lot of vegetables and then just don't use them?
So when I first moved here, the way I grocery shopped was like, Liana does it with by recipe. She's like, we're making this week, so I'm going to buy all these recipes for this. Where I'm a little bit more, I'm a freestyler. I'm like, let me buy like 2 more green bell peppers. Who knows what's going to happen with them?
Let me get all these paints here on my palette, and then I'll look at what I'm going to make. Yeah.
Then you bring me the friend on and I go, I just don't know. This vegetable thing seems like a real deal breaker.
Yeah.
I do have more questions, but I know there are couples we've been discussing on TV. Thank you for sharing. I feel I'm going to have even more questions. It's just like, that was a big question of like, do you feel like it's grounded in the reality of what the K-1 visa is? Because obviously they're choosing and casting really extreme examples.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll definitely talk about some, I want to talk about when we get to Rebecca and Ziad about his interview and what the interview is like. Because I can definitely speak on that. It is an intense experience.
In 2019, so do you feel like the political climate changing made that more difficult?
I mean, the climate, to not get into it too deep, but the climate is the exact reason why it took so long. Because my passport is under one of the 7 countries that were on the ban. So like there was no other avenue and I just had to wait it out. Yeah.
Ugh, well, thank you for sharing.
Unlike Tariq not telling Hazel, I'm sharing with y'all up front, off the top here. Yes. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Yeah. Wow. I just conducted a mini interview in the middle of our podcast.
That was great.
Rob,
I think a lot of people had those questions.
Well, answer all of them. Yeah.
You know, if they say anything about me, Puya, the second I meet someone, I ask intrusive questions with no sign of social norms. So let me know ever if I have crossed the line.
Hannah, all right. So tell me, there's 3 other couples that we saw. What's in order of preference? What's the next couple you want to talk about?
I'm really torn between 2. Mm-hmm. So I'll give the 2 and then Puya, you decide which of the 2 we're going in.
Okay.
Jovi. Oh, I guess there's 3 left though. Who's mm-hmm. the third? Am I forgetting someone?
Rebecca and Ziad. There's Mike and Natalie. And then there's Jovi and Yara.
Anyone but Mike and Natalie.
Okay.
Okay. I would say let's go with Jovi and Yara probably.
Jovi and Yara. Yeah. Okay.
They actually remind me of a 90 Day Fiancé couple of yore. Blake and Jasmine. At least Yara reminds me of Jasmine. I don't think Jovi reminds me of Blake, but it was the music producer and his fiance who also, with a very straight face, said a lot of cruel things about him.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I think I don't know that Yara intends to be comical, but if we're discussing comedic timing. What speed did you watch them at, Rob?
1.5.
Yeah. Fair.
Bump it up for Jovi and Yara.
Can I ask, was that the highest you went on this episode or no?
No.
Ooh, interesting. Okay, cool.
There's
cool.
one couple.
I think my guess is that Mike and Natalie were at the highest speed.
I think that Mike and Natalie, I had them at, all 3 of these couples, these were at higher speeds, but I think that I was... I was holding out hope that Natalie was going to say something crazy. So they were only at 1.4. I had Jovi and Yara at 1.5, and then Rebecca and Ziad at 1.6, and even 1.7 at times. I thought this was fair. a very slow week.
It's not even there yet.
Yeah,
so that's fair.
Wake me up when Ziad gets there. Well, let's talk about Jovi and Yara, where that this was really a lot more of the same of that Yara had maybe some expectations of what life was going to be like in America living with Jovi. And Jovi maybe had some expectations that there would be just more nonstop partying Yara showed up.
This whole couple reminded me of a New Girl line where Schmidt says about this model, this Russian model, beautiful women, you can say anything, can't you? And I'm not commenting necessarily on Yara. I'm just saying she says so many things where you're just like, how is she saying this? And he's still like, yep, this is my wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, last week we commented on how she said, well, I mean, Jovi, that he had a good body, or I mean, he used to.
Yeah, that was what she liked about him.
Yep.
last week, I mean, not to go back, but the thing that stuck out to me was the friend being like, yeah, we're not betting on this. I'm like, this is why they got cast once again.
Yeah.
This is the more classic to me, classic 90 day couple of like, wait, why are you doing that? What is this? Yeah.
Yara had some requirements for Jovi in terms of like booking a place for them to live. She wanted an apartment with a big window. It seemed like that was, she had one ask. I need a big window. Did Jovi hit on that?
We didn't see the windows. Yeah. It looked like there were two that like put together.
She wanted the hotel room that Brandon and Julia got with that overlooks the Capitol building.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now that's a window. I've ever seen one.
I felt like the apartment was relatively nice. I liked the counter.
Small bedroom.
Bedroom.
Which she also... No, that was... Sorry. Natalie didn't like the color of the flowers. I didn't mean to skip. I'm trying to remember which was her.
People are very picky.
Yeah, people are... But I think on this show, what you tend to get to is... When you have a couple like this where neither person is a protagonist, they're both antagonists almost, where like the foreigner expects a certain thing about what an American is, but then the American doesn't do anything to go against what they're expecting. It reminds me last episode of Rebecca's daughter's husband or fiance or boyfriend, where, you know, it's not... You know, for and we'll get to it, but for Ziad to be like, we can't stay, you know, you can't be seen in pajamas in front of another man. I had feelings about that. But then when the man was like, yeah, he's not going to hear about Allah here. He's going to hear about Christianity. I was like, oh, no, both sides have an expectation and they're both just like they both suck. So they're both going to prove each other right. And this reminds me of that as well.
Puya, was there one shot of footage of this entire episode where Jovi was not holding an alcoholic beverage?
No. To put it short, no. It's very much, and that's the thing, last week with the friends being like, I don't, listen, like, he wants to party all the time. I thought maybe it's exaggerative, but the fact that not only was the hangout the night of her arrival supposed to be him showing her Bourbon Street, it was like, oh, and meet my friends. Like, this was a full-blown, like, night at the club based on what I gathered here. Yeah.
Do you think Jovi is going in nuts in quarantine?
Hannah, that's so cute. Jovi is not quarantining.
Oh, you're
so
right.
Cute.
What am I saying? I just, honestly, when he said we should go out and she said she'd been on a 30-minute plane ride, she's in the wrong a lot of this episode. I think how sociopath. I would get back on a plane.
You'd leave. Yeah. Also, yeah, this is I'm not sure the timing of this, but you know that this is probably also like the lead up to Mardi Gras, you would imagine, where that they're hanging out. So this is really party time in New Orleans.
Yeah. I've always wanted to go to New Orleans.
Yeah. I have been there one time. I went in my college days that I had two friends. And actually, Jovi reminds me of one of the two guys who I ended up doing this trip with, that we drove from Oswego, New York to New Orleans, Louisiana for Mardi Gras for spring break. And when I think back, it was an insane trip. We did not have cell phones or anything like that. Like, we could have just been dead. My parents like would have never seen or heard from me ever again. And that just would have been that. I said, remember Rob? Yeah. Yeah. He went to New Orleans. He never came back.
Julio would have never met Leanna. The whole timeline would have been different.
Yeah. Didn't even think about that.
My nightmare. I'm glad everything worked out with that trip, Rob.
Yeah. Everything worked out okay. We went to New Orleans.
Johnny Public Radio.
Yeah. We had no money and no reservations. And we just said, like, we'll figure it out when we get there. Bad idea.
You sound like Brandon's parents' nightmare.
I'm really jealous.
Yeah.
What?
With that energy.
Yeah.
You sound like Brandon's parents' nightmare. Like, they would have wanted everything planned to the arrival time. Mm-hmm. You just said, I'm going to wing it.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything from this segment, we see that Jovi and Yara are not compatible in even one way.
No.
I can't find a way they're compatible yet.
Yeah.
It's Yeah. Ultimately, to me, by the looks
of it, sex is good. He said that. That's what happened.
Yes. Yes. I
mean, it sounds like the physical is what pulled her on him and him on her right out the gate. Like, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because ultimately, he is, you know, given his living situation, the way he talks about it, he is living, he has been living in a bachelor pad, right? Like, straight up what you would imagine a bachelor pad to be. Not much decoration. Not much accessorizing, kind of simple, kind of like, well, I'm never home anyways. It's just a place to sleep is what I got from his house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's not forget how this couple started. He proposed the K-1 visa because he thought she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did the underwear proposal.
Then when he found out she wasn't pregnant or she lost the baby, he said, well, might as well go through. We're already, you know, sort of doing this.
Yeah, he said, well, I mean, I'm not under any obligation to stick with this, but why not? Figure it out.
Yeah.
Jovi also loves Bourbon Street. Yara says it smells like pee and throwing up, which no lie detected.
Okay, so that's factual.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that there's a lot of people that are drinking on Bourbon Street. It's a lot of like drinking in the street. And then that this was what I found during my time in New Orleans. And maybe Liana might be able to back this up. I found that it was very cheap and convenient to get the liquid into your system. And it was very inconvenient and at times expensive to get the liquid out of your system.
I see the implication.
Yes, yes. Here, we got 3 beers for a quarter. Hey, where's the bathroom? You got to go in this store and buy something that costs $5.
That's how they get you.
That's Rob. How they get
the
you.
The entry fee is nothing.
Yeah.
Barrier entry, zero. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then people try to find a way. There's a lot of like policing the, hey, no peeing in the streets in New Orleans. That was in what I found during my time there. They end up coming to another disagreement, Hannah. Jovi wants Yara to come over and meet his mom. Jovi's mom is not really on the overall graph of overbearing 90-day moms. She rates pretty low. But Yara is not interested.
Yeah, I think Yara has to learn to pick her battles. I think that this fight was like, just pick your
battles.
She hates
everything. Sleeping
over at the mom's house for one night, unless there's some unspoken thing that wasn't said, seems like just pick your battles. Do it for one night. You know, he's promised and delivered on a lot more than most 90-day fiance men. He's gotten them an apartment that looks relatively nice that she can decorate. I feel like she's choosing too many things to be mad at.
Yeah, she seems like she would go there, but Puya, she does not want to sleep over at the mom's house.
Yeah, and I feel like with like my background, I've kind of seen this happen where like there's some families, some parents who were like, yeah, you can sleep over at Puya's house, that's fine. With my parents, they were like, no. I was like, well, what's the big deal? They're like, just no. Like, so it's instilled in some people that like sleeping over is not really like a thing you do, but also they are like, you know, she's going to end up being her in-law. So maybe you go with it there. But I do think ultimately it comes down to like, let's say if they had to take a flight out, that's different. But because they can easily drive back, I think she wants to have that. Because it's very obvious that we're learning more about her. She's very clean. She wants things done specifically in a certain way. So she's got that maintenance about her. And going into an unpredictable area, unpredictable situation is something she doesn't want to prepare for.
Yeah.
You really opened my eyes about this. Because to me, it just, I guess I'm from a family where it'd be like, yeah, okay, I'll just, like, it's not a big thing. So I didn't understand. And because Yara picked a lot of battles, it was hard to tell which ones were legit.
Yeah. Well, it's very much she came in and like full reprimand of like, okay, so you haven't cleaned up. This isn't clean. Where's
the body's not good.
Yeah. In fairness to Yara, that he seemed like that he seemingly broke a piece of furniture
and left it there.
Just left it there for no reason. Did not put it off to the side. There's just like, here's like some broken stool in the middle of the room.
Yeah, I full on, I'm Team Yara. There's at no point have I been a Jovi Brovi. That's not a thing that's happening. I'm 100% Team Yara, despite everything that's going on with them.
I'm not a Jovi Brovi, but I... Okay, keep going. Sorry.
You sounded a little Jovi Brovi right now.
I want to hear the end of your thought first.
She had me in the palm of her hands the minute she was like, yo, I'm trying to sleep after 30 hours of flight. I don't know if I can go out and party. And then for Jovi to be mad of like, well, fine, then we'll stay home. That's fine. I was like, Jovi, do you really not understand? Because I think Jovi sounds like very much like when he does those trips, because that's how they met. Like he travels all over. He's kind of like, I'm going to live out of a backpack and like kick it at a hostel guy, which I had a friend like that who ended up showing up in Ottawa and then stayed on our couch for like a good 4 months.
Yeah.
Shout out to Dan. He's not listening, but I'm just going to shout him out anyway. So I've never met this type of dude. And it's like, yeah, great. But you're also not like, you know, he's not winding out. He's not accepting the new balance here. So
to be clear, I think I even called him a sociopath twice for his airport thing. I very much 100% after a 30-hour plane ride, you have no right to be mad that she doesn't want to go out and meet your friends. With that said, yeah. I know I'm going to dislike probably a lot of Jovi's behavior in the coming episodes. For this episode, I don't know. He wanted to show her New Orleans. She was complaining the whole time. He, you know, I feel like he did. He said he moved apartments. He got an apartment in a nicer area. Again, I love a kitchen counter that is floating. Mm-hmm. I can see it behind you, Puya. I'm a fan of that.
Yeah, I love an island too.
I love a kitchen island. I guess for me right now, she's not shown me a single reason why she wants to be there. Mm-hmm. So I can't help but have some sympathy and some understanding of where he's coming from. Do I think Jovi and I would get along?
That's not your guy.
I'm not sure he would understand me as a person.
Can I ask, of the five men that we saw profiled here tonight, which guy would be closest to your kind of guy?
Oh, God.
I'm going to look at the lineup, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think we all have to answer this.
Okay. Who's our guy? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Tariq, Mike, and Brandon. I feel like...
Oh, God.
Give me Tariq, man. Mm-hmm. Gel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Seems like he needs to be educated on some stuff, but I feel like I could talk some sense into mm-hmm. him.
Chill. You like Thai food, Puya?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Big, mm-hmm. big crab rangoons in this house. Mm-hmm. Liana loves her crab rangoons. If I ask Liana, we're getting takeout, what do you want? She always says Thai food, even if we had it yesterday. Mm-hmm. So definitely safe to say we're on that same boat here.
Yeah.
You know, these are not great options.
yeah.
I'll be honest. I feel like if I had to choose out of any of the people, it would be Julia. I think that's an obvious answer.
Yeah.
But if I had to choose one of the men, I'd probably go with Tariq too. I feel like I could see us doing a couples rap. You saw my rapping skills mm-hmm. earlier. Yeah. Obviously, they meet the flagship studio bar.
Yep.
He seems like he's trying to be understanding. He's also the with his daughter is very sweet. Mm-hmm. He's got majority custody. He seems there's no parent helicoptering above.
Mm-hmm.
Swell.
Yeah. I think I'd probably go Tariq as well. I think it's probably not actually even that close. I think that maybe Mike might be second, but he doesn't really do it for me.
Mike.
$30,000 in debt. I don't need that hanging over my head either. So
also, he just seems miserable all the time. we'll get to it.
I don't know how much Uncle Bo I could handle. So. Zed, I feel like we don't really know him. Seems like I've only really seen him on the iPad. I don't have like the
because those videos. You are so beautiful. The wide eye.
Yeah.
I like Zed, but I don't know how much I would enjoy having pictures of my face on my stuff around the house.
What on your credit card?
Probably the one place I would, if I can pick one place to eliminate, like, can I just, I have to hand this out to people? Can I not have it?
Yeah. Yara said that at the plane ride on the, there were a lot of, she said, fat people. Was she talking about Jovi? Was this her dig at his body? She's like, perhaps. Those people in the airport, you.
Perhaps. Very heavy cuisine in New Orleans also. I think that very, you know, the cooking with a lot of butter in New Orleans cooking, you know, very delicious, but, you know, it's rich. It's rich. One thing that really did endear Yara to me is that when Jovi is talking to her about going to go sleep at the mom's house, he says that this is Louisiana culture. And she says about going there, she's like, yeah, I don't want to do that. Why would I do it if I don't like to do it? I was like, yes, Yara, okay, finally, somebody has crystallized my worldview. Yeah, why should I have to do it if I don't want to?
I am more convinced than ever before that she encapsulates the new girl line, beautiful women can say everything. Because the fact that you both are defending her so much, and I'm watching this like, how is she saying these things?
No, I want to say that.
I want to be able to get away with saying that.
I want when Nicole is telling me to do something, I say, no, but Nicole, why would I do that? Because I don't want to do that. So why would I have to?
Do you think that that's what makes them both so incompatible? That he's like, why can't I do it if I don't want to? And she's like, why should I do it if I don't want to? That's at the baseline why they're not compatible.
Perhaps.
Well, like, with every relationship, you know, you got to be able to find that sweet old compromise. And right now it seems like both of them are looking at it as compromise equals defeat. And I can't start off with a defeat. He wants to go out. He has to get, you know, he wants that night out. He doesn't get that. He's not willing to completely accept defeat there. She doesn't want to stay at the family's house. She's not willing to accept defeat there. They're not compromising.
She would like quarantine. She wouldn't have to stay anywhere. So anyone else's house,
she's happy. She's good to go. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we see her like with Blake and Jasmine of yore, like Jasmine wouldn't go anywhere. Wouldn't meet the friends, never wanted. We see her walking around with him. Like she's, you know, doing the things.
I think she's very down to do the things. I think she's correctly been like, listen, let me breathe. Because honestly, the thing is, I feel like at some point in my life, I was very much like, well, I got here. I'm still tired. I'm not going to unpack this suitcase. Mm-hmm. Whereas probably now I'm like, you know what? I would probably like not having this big old suitcase. Is just sitting in the middle of the living room. Like, that would be nice to me. So I completely understood her wanting to just spend the first day in with him. You know, it's nice and warm in the apartment. Let us put stuff away, order some food, hang out. I feel like that sounds like the perfect date to me.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because like now they're out, right? They're going to walk home, walk inside to this little bitty room where there's no room to walk because
agree that the room is too small? I can't believe what Yara has done to you both.
My room was my room been tiny. Like before I moved, I had a tiny room. It fit my desk and my bed and that was it. And I was fine. But I feel like what she's expecting, you know, she's like, she's out here calling Americans fat. Like she's expecting a fat room as well. And she's like, wait, why is this room tiny? So that's more of a Yara thing, Yara problem. But I'm okay with the room size myself.
It's a YP, not an MP. Okay. Yeah. All right. So can we talk about Rebecca and Ziad. And we did not get a lot of Ziad in this episode, but that we had a really bizarre scene here. We have actually a couple of interesting ones for Rebecca. Rebecca goes to go meet with her disapproving and skeptical friend, Melanie, who happens to be a private investigator. They meet at a boxing gym.
Where is Ziad from? I'm sorry.
Tunisia.
Yes.
Okay.
It's top of Africa, as Rebecca will tell us and tell anybody.
Oh, yes. She gave the geography lesson. I just wasn't listening.
Yes. So she goes to Tap Out, a place that the First Lady of Podcasting used to go to. And she's going to go do some boxing with Melanie, who happens to be a private investigator.
Well, I had a lot of thoughts because she used to work for Melanie and now she manages this restaurant. And I'm like, who would hire Rebecca to be a private investigator was definitely something that was on my mind initially. So I guess the answer is not a ton of people.
Yeah. Puya, the Rebecca and Ziad relationship, there's a lot of merch back and forth. Rebecca is wearing the Ziad graphic tee here to the boxing gym.
Yeah. Yeah, here's the thing. If she's getting these as gifts and she's like, oh yeah, I'm wearing them, see, selfie, and then like puts the shirt away, I get she is proudly wearing this to the boxing gym. I'm telling you, there is nothing less intimidating to me and less like I'm doing this with three pictures of Ziad's face and like almost a collage way of like he's like smiling and then he's holding a drink and it's like what? It was just wild that she wore this out to the gym to me.
Yeah. Puya, was this a big part of the earlier 90 Day Fiancé storyline of Melanie, the private investigator?
Yeah, she was, as you've correctly called, she was the disapproving friend. She was very skeptical. We did hear in this episode that she, you know, we took a flashback to when she did look up Zia, did not find anything under employment, and that gave her a lot of pause. Mm-hmm. She's never trusted it, and I think the big problem is with some of these couples is their past. So she's looking at it because Rebecca has almost a carbon copy storyline with someone from Morocco, her previous husband, who she went down the exact same rabbit hole with. So that already gives her skepticism. And then in the investigation, when nothing turns up on their job, they're like, wait, is he like a deadbeat? Is he just like not working? Is he living off his parents? Like, what's the story? We don't know the complete story. So she's definitely been on the no-go on Ziad train. And maybe it's that kind of behavior that's led Rebecca to be more and more like, well, you don't like him? Fine. Now I'm going to wear him on my purse. What next? You don't like him? Joggers. I'm going to have a face on my joggers now. Like, it's just more and more. The more everyone's skeptical, she wears more merch.
Rebecca is going to go to GameStop.
Hannah was great.
Yes, this was absurd.
And the highlight of Rebecca's. Yeah.
So hold on, Hannah, to me, was this a little bit of.
She made it awkward when she didn't need to?
Oh, so yes, exactly. But just like, okay, so Ziad has not even gotten the K1 yet. It feels like we had lots of time to go out there. She was not trying to score a PlayStation 5. She just needed to, hey, my guy is coming in soon. I need to set up the gaming system at my home.
I mean, let's first, yeah, you can shop for the video game with him there, but let's first talk about the elephant in the room in the scene that she did not need. She could have just said, I'm looking for a game for even a 28-year-old, whatever. Instead, she goes, it's for my son. The girl goes, okay. Just kidding. It's for my fiance, who's this different age than my son. She was not, who's like similar to the age of my son. She basically pretended like she was shopping for her son, which automatically makes you think of her fiance like her son. It just, and this GameStop girl was perfectly cast.
Yes.
I mean, she shows her a picture of Ziad, and it's like, if her friends are already against her, her family's against her, she goes, is he cute? She goes, yeah. Mm-hmm. You get the sense the world is against her. It was so brilliant and awkward and amazing.
When she opens with talking about how her son is 25, oh, wait, it's actually for my fiance. They're close to the same age. He's 28. I just have in my notes in all caps, you didn't need to say it like this.
You didn't need to.
You can go into a GameStop and just want to buy something. You don't need to say who it's for.
You don't need to. And obviously, maybe she wanted to get something for the right age group, but then choose. Either say, my fiance is 28, and the GameStop girl seemed like she'd be like, all right, great. Or say, it's for my son, or stick to the lie. But don't say it's for your son, then reveal it's your fiance.
I think the more and more we learn about Rebecca, she sees Ziad as this trophy husband. So when she can put him on display, she got
it. Yes, you're so right,
that's
Puya.
It. Yes, that's it.
That's
so
really
it's like,
what it
hey,
is. It's like,
hey, have you seen my hot 28-year-old husband? Want to see a picture? Have you seen I guess I'll charge it. When she pays for the system, I've never seen this before. She has a credit card that is, I did not even know this was possible. I did not know you could do this. The credit card is a complete photo of Ziad.
Yeah. So I've seen this before where you can get like custom decal on credit cards. Certain banks do it, I'm pretty sure, something like that. But this was wild. First of all, I feel like the orientation of the photo was like the wrong way around. I feel like you're not looking at it like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was portrait mode on the credit card.
I love that she gives it to this other guy who is now at the register. And like they talk about it, like, oh, it's my fiance. And the girl that helped her earlier was like, oh, wait, let me get a look at this. I'm curious. You piqued my interest here. Mm-hmm. This was very funny. Can I give you a conspiracy of why I think she bought the console this early?
Because yes, do it.
I too thought it's 2 days away from the interview. We don't even know if you're in yet. I think this is an early gift for him / bribing the daughter's husband, fiance person of like, hey, like, but look, there's perks to us living here. Like, you can play Call of Duty. Now.
So really, she should have been at GameStop. Like, actually, my son is 25, or my fiance is 28. My daughter's fiance is 26. It's really for him.
Yeah. Show
there's a different 20-something-year-old man in my life.
Would you watch a quirky comedy about GameStop girl and her adventures?
Hannah, she had a confessional. I mean, that was the amazing part of this. She's part of this now. She's like, yeah, I really don't know about this relationship. I mean, it seems kind of crazy.
She's charming.
They've done this before. They'll like go into, like, I remember, I forgot which couple, they went into a thrift store. And you had the thrift store clerk be like, it's weird. She started dissing all the clothes.
Yeah.
But I liked GameStop girl. She was understanding. She was curious. She wanted to see the photo.
Is she on Twitter?
GameStop girl, if you're listening to this and you're on Twitter, let us know.
90 Day
Fiancé
GameStop.
They will have you on as a special guest.
Yes. Can she do pillow talk?
She should. Okay. I think she's going to watch the season now. Yeah.
I loved it. I love that whole sequence in the GameStop. We then get to some FaceTime with Zed. He had to go to his interview. Rebecca is nervous. It's unclear how it went.
Twitter seems to think the taking of the passport is normal. I guess, yes. Puya, you said you had insight into this.
So when they take the passport, it's typically a good sign because that they need it to issue the visa on it and then they mail it to you. They, you know, you get the tracking code and everything. So it's typically a good sign. So the reason why she's nervous with the interview and everyone, like when you watch the show, they're nervous about it because they're not wrong. If you stutter, you can get denied. Like you have to know everything properly. They ask you questions phrased in a way to trip you up. You have to know because a lot of people will use this as a means to bring someone into the States, right? This is kind of the thing that everyone is worried about in all these shows. So yeah, they'll ask me like, and yeah, where did you work? You worked here. Okay. And then your partner, where did they work before? And it's like, oh, so they met before, not right now. So you got to like be specific. Where did they live before? You got to know everything. You got to know all your addresses. So it can be tedious, but also you got to like, it's got to come off not rehearsed either because you're, you know, this is your life. So for me, I was very nervous the night before because I'm like, this literally, my future lies in this one interview. But also, I'm not going to sit there with cue cards and memorize everything. You got to just be confident in yourself and go through with it. And then obviously with someone like Zed, who he's going to have to answer that Rebecca was in another marriage prior to this to a Moroccan guy, very similar to my age. That went south. And oh, if they ask me about my job history, I accepted cash only. I can see why they're both sweating it because very much, and Zed, we've seen how he speaks, bless his heart, you know, the way he's describing his pillow talk with Rebecca left a lot to be desired. So I was nervous for them. Let's say that.
That's good to know that the passport means, because some people on the internet were like, oh, the passport, they could stamp a rejection. But that's good if they're leaning towards accepting you, they take your passport.
And if I'm wrong, you'll know next week because Liana will tell me I was wrong. But
think you're right.
Yeah, we don't really have a storyline this season either.
I don't know what
either.
A rejection stamp would mean.
Because the worry is that, you know, there's been couples where it's like, there's been people who've been like, well, they've been holding on to my passport for very long. I need it. I have to travel. And like, I don't know yet. So it can be a limbo. They won't. I don't think they'd put a rejection in there. But if they don't take it, they don't.
So to the random Twitter user who said,
When you leave the interview, they give you a sheet of paper, and it's either like a, you know, here are the next steps, you've been approved, or here's a rejection, or the middle one, which I got, which was like they've ticked, you are going into further check, or you've been rejected for the meanwhile. So there should be other information there as well.
What's the weirdest question they asked you, or like that you were like, whoa, what, why that? Or intrusive, or like, you're like, huh?
There weren't any there wasn't any weird questions, but they do ask very specific questions. They, you know, they asked me everything from when I moved to Canada, why I moved to Canada, if I moved with family, where my family is now, where they were before. So for me, it was interesting because I was in this weird place where when I first went in for my interview, my parents both lived in Dubai. But in the next year, both my mom had moved to Iran and my dad was still in Dubai. So they definitely asked about, why did this change? I was like, okay, well, this is, they chose to move because, like, you know, my dad's shutting off business, thinking of retiring. I was like, I'm like giving you my life story here. Mm-hmm. Also, goes on said team, but when you apply initially, when you go for the first application where they have to approve you to then give you an interview and a medical check, the amount of pictures they want. We sent a binder. Like, I have never documented this many photos. Like, you know how Facebook albums used to be a thing? And it's like, oh, yeah. Night out on Friday. And there were 72 photos. We sent 72 photos and emails. And
maybe that's why Rebecca and Zed have all the photo albums ready to go.
They're like, what pictures are
on blankets. The desktop. Might as well send this
Do
off
you talk
to Shutterfly.
About Rob has a podcast a lot on your in your interview.
I mean, it came up because the thing is, like,
thanks for the plugs, Puya.
Yeah, of course. So someone out there is probably listening to this now because we had to mention what our origin was, and like, it's like online, but it's not online dating. So here's what happened. So I definitely did. I was like, yeah, we were in a podcasting competition where didn't end up winning, but that brought us closer. Like, my story, I've made it a movie trailer at this point because of how much I brought it up.
Wow.
Really? Okay. Yeah, truly. Yeah.
So I did a Twitter search for 90 Day Fiance GameStop girl that led to some amusing tweets. Throwing Shade, the Shady Librarian, says, I'm sick of Rebecca and her personalization male storyline. Stop constantly showing us and the girl at GameStop pics of Zed. No, he's not handsome. Leave us alone. There's another one. Not the girl at GameStop looking at Rebecca like, this lady is telling me too much of her business. Another one. Why is Rebecca telling the girl at GameStop her business? A lot of gifts. Also, her name is Jenna. That's what she's lower thirded, which led me to do a search for hashtag 90 Day Fiance Jenna. People are loving the breakout star of 90 Day Fiance. Yes.
Good, as they should. See, my thing is, too, remember how her face on his shirt was so filtered? That was part of the hilarity of it all as well, if you remember.
Yeah, people need more of Jenna, the game store girl.
Because then she had her sidekick, the guy with the long hair, who I really liked as well. He was more understated. Yeah. Jenna, if you're listening, they will have you on this podcast.
Yeah, maybe Jenna's listening to every 90 Day Fiance podcast this week. This is like her moment. Yeah, please reach out.
We acknowledge you.
We'll book you for the podcast next week. All right. And then finally, Mike and Natalie. And the Mike and Natalie storyline, I had high hopes when we opened up on Uncle Bo and Puya. How about this revelation? Mike tells us to open things up. Uncle Bo, well, he's actually my cousin.
Is this a nickname? Like, is he just nicknamed Uncle Bo? But then in another confessional, like 2 minutes later, Rob, Uncle Bo's like, yeah, my nephew.
Yeah, here's
Mike.
Uncle Bo.
I'm on Mikey's side all the way. He's my nephew, and I love him, and I hope he doesn't get hurt, you know?
Which is it, Bo?
Wait, Kuya, you said you had Uncle Bo tea.
Yeah, so.
Better than Uncle Bo teeth.
He does not have all of them. So shout out to, you know, aforementioned Liana, who told me that Uncle Bo has a big rap sheet. Big rap sheet.
Oh, like Tariq.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But with a W on top, and I don't mean win.
Oh, okay. Rap sheet. Yeah. Not about hot sauce.
Defo not. This is very
You like hot sauce. Cough.
I would listen to that track on repeat every morning as I'm brushing my teeth. I'm not even going to lie.
I'm a gentleman and a scholar. If you want to hear me holler at you.
Rob, from 2007 to 2012, how many counts, how many things do you think he's had on his rap sheet here?
Uncle Bo.
Yes. Yeah.
I believe he's been arrested 8 times.
There's more than 10 on here. So there's possession of liquor in a vehicle, aggravated DUI, marijuana violation,
drug in some places. Possession.
Well, real quick pause, real quick defense of marijuana on you. Marijuana is legal in a lot of parts. I'm just kidding.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean,
this is like soft stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, keep going. All right. I'm not defending Uncle Bill.
Yeah. Assault with intent, assault and disorderly conduct, aggravated assault, assault with intent, assault with intent, assault with intent, aggravated assault.
Yeah.
And these are from.
I just realized something before you keep going. Natalie, who everyone was shitting on for not wanting to live with Uncle Bo,
I see
seems
why
a little bit more sane when you consider this. All right, keep going.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In fairness, though, the reason why she didn't want to live with him because he had a purple shirt on. She did not like that. That was a deal breaker.
That's the biggest question for me in this episode is, what is your dissatisfaction with the color purple? What's the problem with the rap sheet?
I want to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, the most recent one was 2016. It was an assault charge, a charge of assault with a weapon in Washington. Yeah. Uncle Bo, Cousin Bo, like Mr. Bo. I don't know what we're calling him
also,
officially.
Yeah.
Wow.
Uncle Bo tells us at one point about that.
I know a lot about women.
Been with a lot of women. Like, what a flex by Uncle Bo.
Yeah.
No. Hold on. The line keeps going. I've been with a lot of women myself, and they're unpredictable. You know. So you know, hoping.
I'm sorry, Bo. I do not, sir.
So, I think something that I thought about when he called women unpredictable was how like. You know, so many people on the internet find him so endearing. And if you find someone endearing, they can get away with saying something sexist.
He's Yara that people are that.
He's not Yara. Guys, Yara is not endearing. You guys, a pretty woman can just say anything, apparently. My thesis statement was just proven correct.
Interesting. So you're saying an attractive woman and a homeless man, both of them can get away with saying anything? That's the spectrum.
He's got somewhere to live, Rob.
Not right now.
Mike made sure of it.
He's living with, what was it, his brother? No, his son? No, one of them. I can't tell with this family anymore. Who's the brother? Who's the son? Is it a cousin?
Why would I have to go do something if I don't want to do it?
I feel like with the Mike, Natalia, Natasha, they've called her both. It's apparently a Russian-based thing.
Yeah.
You have to, in order to understand this dynamic, Puya, would you agree you have to understand what happened last season with them, like specifically why he's so not excited to have her there? Like, I feel like this feels like one of the couples you need to know the backstory.
Well, it was a lot that happened at the time. Please correct me if I'm wrong, because I've watched many 90 Days since. I might be like foggy on the memories here. But there was a lot of just like distrust building. She kind of did not reciprocate. She didn't like with chest say, I love you. So he was hurt by that. There was accusations of cheating. And really with them, the ring return is what sealed it, where it's just
she
not
wants it back.
The same. Yeah.
It's when not did she the return the ring back? During what fight? Was it the fight about God versus aliens or?
In the case of God versus aliens, Natalie returned the ring. I don't remember. I think it was the.
In fairness, Uncle Bo has had a few encounters up close.
Wouldn't be shocked. You know, for someone who's mad about people being unpredictable, of course it would come from predictable Uncle Bo. If I made all these assumptions about him, I'd feel bad, but I'd be on the money given what I know.
Okay, we can't stand him anymore.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, Mike ends up picking up Natalie from the airport. I did not know. This was a shock to me. Natalie, a big snowboarder, Hannah.
Yeah, she
came with
got
a snowboard.
What state are they in?
Washington, I believe.
Okay.
No, yeah, Seattle. Oh, they're stopping at Seattle. Never mind.
She appeared to have small bag and a snowboard.
Mm-hmm.
But we saw her with hella bag when her mom dropped her off at the airport. So I don't know where those magically disappeared.
Some PA from 90 Day Fiancé has a bag.
Poor person. Yeah. I thought that was an instrument, not a snowboard initially.
No.
I
don't know what a snowboard.
Oh, they were in what? They spent the night in Seattle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that this was a good move by Mike. Although the one downside is I have a feeling she is not going to like the farm. And so you set her expectations for America up pretty high with this.
You should have taken her to like a Motel 6. Yeah. Like this is a hotel. And then like, wow, you have to live in a mansion.
I thought this was a good, I thought it was a good move. I know he's in debt, but I felt like this one night in the city.
Mm-hmm.
Was a good move by Mike.
He won her over with the hotel room, but the flowers were a miss. Did not like purple flowers.
She was so angry.
Yeah. What did purple flowers do to her?
I love Mike's defense of, listen, in America, it's the thought that counts. Here in America.
Also, correct me if I'm wrong, but they were also pretty, they were pinkish purple.
Yeah, they weren't like purple. She didn't like them. Yeah, like I don't know. She was clearly bothered enough that it came up in another instance. It wasn't just like in the moment. It feels like this is assuming this is something that Mike should have known, I guess, and that's probably what bothers her more. Like they must have talked about this and he glossed over it is my big assumption here.
Mm-hmm.
Larissa would never. I think I saw that on the internet, but Larissa didn't get any flowers. Rob, in 90 Day Fiancé history, when Colty did not bring Larissa flowers, it was a big scandal.
Yeah,
that was a big thing in their airport arrival or limo entrance, whatever you're going for. So this, I feel like, was a callback to that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Flowers at the airport, very impractical. You got all these bags, you got to carry stuff that I know every time I'm in the airport, I'm lugging like two suitcases behind me. You know, I don't know that I feel like that the flowers is just another thing that you got to be walking around carrying. I've got flowers at the house.
Do you think, does something to you guys ring as off about her?
About Natalie?
Natalie.
Yes, she something is mad off all the time.
But to me, it feels like she's mad about really, really, really random shit. And I think what Puya's referring to is during the reunion, it seemed to be based in a distrust that we never got told about. So maybe there is more to the story, but there's just something is off here for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can't follow the logic.
The two of them fascinate me because there's moments where I'm like, oh, you're the most normal couple we have this season. But also nothing screams normal about either of them.
Mm-hmm.
This is obviously the most tame we've seen alien Mike, because now Mike is like this like Eeyore type character.
Yeah, he's
like
a sad sack.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Natalie's coming in with like, oh, I'm feeling hope. And she looks like she's starting to sound like she loves him. But also we know that that wasn't the case before. So is she just happy to be here? Like, I don't know. With them, I feel like there's more story to be told. But I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know if I care with them. Mm-hmm. They're probably my least favorite of the bunch currently.
Yeah.
Certainly of the returnees. But we'll see. There's a couple couples I'm excited to see that we haven't seen yet.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I will say they start us off with the preview of her crying, being like, now I have to fly home during COVID. So they give us that preview.
Yes, where she's like it's sobbing on the way to the airport by the sound.
Wait, what couples are you excited to see that happen?
We have the sugar mama older lady with the younger partner who I can't wait. I don't know anything about
classic
90 Day Fiancé trope.
Mm-hmm. And then based on the preview for next week, we're meeting the couple who I think she's from France and she can't go to the States because of the coronavirus and her partner's making her go to Mexico as a proof of love. So I'm curious because I think if I remember correctly in the on this season, isn't she the one that ends up in a detention center potentially? So I'm intrigued. Yeah, I'm intrigued.
I love how they save some couples. And sometimes they save really juicy, fun couples. They don't just save the worst ones. I agree with you that Brandon will be the backbone. But that, you know, they give us some nuggets. Yeah.
We love nuggets in these parts.
We do. They're always a big hit. All right. Hannah, anything else you want to say about 90 Day Fiancé season 8?
We got tweets.
Okay. Yes. What caught your eye?
I mean, I feel like we know the answer to this, but at @JohnPaul_Roman said, if you had to appear on camera in this show, who would you be? The skeptical friend, a server or salesperson attending the couple and their family, 3, a parent to one of these couples.
Yeah. So we've talked a lot about the skeptical friend, but I think that the game store Julia really adds another dimension of to be the server or salesperson attending the couple and the family. You can just, you know, hit your, you know, come in, throw a grenade and you get out of there. You never have to see these people ever again. You're the skeptical friend. That's awkward at the wedding, Puya.
Yeah. The skeptical friend, you're still tangentially related enough where it's like, well, I have to deal, like this is still a part of my life, even if it's a faint one. Parent, you're directly in the middle of it. No, don't love that. I think I love the drive-by. I love the being someone that sees you in the wild, interacts with you, gets a moment on TV to live in infamy, and then gets to move on with their own lives.
Mm-hmm. You got that. Akaro Sena says, is Brandon 3 children stacked in a trench coat? What was he playing on his Switch in the backseat of the car?
I love the idea of him being 3 children in a trench coat. The Switch game that he's playing, I think that they dropped in a random video game sound effect. I do not think that that sound effect that we heard matched the Nintendo Switch game.
I don't think so either. I think that if I was, you know, again, betting on this, there's no way he's playing something that's got a little bit more thought behind it and ill intensity. Yeah. He's not playing any of the Legend of Zelda games.
He's basic. Super Mario Odyssey.
Exactly. Or like a Smash Bros. To button mash, because I don't think he's that good to know not to button mash. Or maybe Mario Kart ultimately. But he seems like he'd end up third place facing the AI anyway. So shade intended.
At Holly Batch Morris says, who's your fave ever couple? See, I'm getting through this before your call.
Hannah, can I also add one more thing? I bet that when GameStop Julia hears, hey, my 28-year-old fiance is coming to stay with me, what system do you recommend? I guarantee you GameStop Julia is not recommending Nintendo Switch for a grown-ass man.
This is some gaming shade, I guess, that I don't fully understand, but I'm into.
But I mean, Puya, you know more about video games than me. Nintendo Switch is for little kids, right? That's the target demo.
I feel like if you are an adult who ends up getting the Nintendo Switch, you've ridden the nostalgia wave all the way through. Mm-hmm. Like, as someone who owned a GameCube, the Switch is in the back of my mind, but I feel like you end up picking up the Xbox or like the PlayStation or a PC because there's a lot more games that are available on those consoles.
Yeah.
Whereas Nintendo is Nintendo. It's pretty much, if you're getting the Nintendo, it's to play the Mario World games.
Yeah.
It's to play the Nintendo
side. Perhaps that maybe the utility of, maybe there's a lot of long drives where Brandon is in the back seat of mommy and daddy's car for a long time. Maybe that he needs a system that is more portable.
Yeah, I would say so. I would say so.
Holly, favorite couple ever. What are you feeling?
I mean, for me, if I'm making a pick here, who's a couple that I've enjoyed?
Brandon and Julia's parents.
Yes. Like, see, something like that. I think
Darcy and her sister are stars together.
Ooh, I am not a Darcy fan.
Wow.
Yeah, no, Darcy. Yeah.
There was this really sweet, oh my God, what was her name? Liana, I'll tell you her name and they'll announce it. This will keep people in the podcast. It was this really sweet girl, and they have a cute family now. Sometimes I know who my favorite couple is. What am I even saying? Oh my gosh. They're on Pillow Talk all the time and they're amazing. And they have a cooking show now. Oh my gosh. 90 Day Fiance. It's coming to me. Annie and David. I didn't even have to look it up.
Annie and David
are my favorite couple. They're one of these couples when they were on the show, he seemed like lazy and like it would never work, and now they are the cutest couple on Pillow Talk. She clearly finds him so funny, and like she cooks all this like really good food, and they're just really adorable and really funny, and it's definitely Annie and David for me.
Okay. I'm all about chaos. So if there's any couple where one half is like redeeming, the other half is utter chaos, I'm in for that. I have been enjoying these recent seasons. Like, I despise Colt with every inch of my body. I love talking smack on Colt and his mom, Debbie. So like something like that is what I'm into. I don't think I have a favorite ever, to be honest. I'll pick them up, drop them off, pick the next one the next
season. And Rob is too new. But okay, Stephanie asks, or your parents.
Leave my parents out of this.
What do you think of Brandon's overstepping mother? I feel like we've answered that. We think, here's something we haven't answered, her second question. We think Natalie/Mike are fake. He doesn't seem thrilled with her being in the U.S. What are your thoughts? Also, I want a shirt with Zied's face on it. Do you think they are fake? Are they a plant?
No, I think, honestly, it all boils down to the fact that they were kind of in the defeatist, we're at the end of this relationship avenue, and then they got a new, fresh bit of, life when they got approved the visa, and they're like, well, it's kind of like, well, we drove all the way to Disneyland, might as well go inside and get a snack. Like, that's kind of where they're at. So
please don't go to Disneyland right now.
No, do not. Stay home. But I think in this instance...
I am kidding.
Yeah, they're in a spot where they're like, well, we got the visa. Let's give it a shot for it. Like, they're genuinely using the 90 days as a test. Yeah. Genuinely, this is an experiment for them. Yeah.
There's the last question from Being Loud, an obvious answer. Would you live with Uncle Bo?
Well,
Uncle, no.
Before we started this podcast, I'd say yes, but now.
You know so much more. Oh my gosh. Thank you. I'm glad we got the Twitter questions in. I love hearing from people.
Yes. Okay. Well, this was very fun. I can't wait till next week to watch more 90 Day Fiance and see what's going on in the lives of Brandon and Julia. Puya, when you call it the Hot Mess Express, is that a branded term for the show, or did you make that up?
A lot of people... No. It's not for the show. It gets used in other places, for sure. I didn't create the term. Yeah.
I wasn't sure if that's like the official motto of the show.
No. I've said I'm the conductor of the Hot Mess Express because we've been going through a bunch of these couples and, as you can tell, they're hot messes. So that just kind of came from other avenues that we've now injected into the podcast's motif.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you guys both for having me. I know this is a very long podcast.
Yeah.
But it was really great.
It flew
fun.
By. And if you want to catch up on the Parks Rex Express... You know where to go.
Listen to Pawnee Public Radio. Find us on Twitter at Radio Pawnee. My handle is at Hannah Lil Nesson. I hope you join us in Parks and Rec.
It's where are you right now? People want to jump in.
A show. Yeah, we are getting towards the end half of season 2. So we're about to get into the really, really, really good stuff where a lot of people, when they're rewatching, start. We had Rob on the podcast.
Yes.
Check that out.
Season 2, episode 15, Sweetums.
Yeah, we'd happily have Puya. This was really fun. Puya, thank you for letting me ask you a bunch of personal questions. I learned so much.
No problem at all. Honestly, it's my pleasure. I mean, I'm in the biz here. I love speaking about myself. That's why I'm here. I enjoy this just as much as anybody. So I was glad to answer. Glad someone cares to ask. So I appreciate that. I appreciate you. Yeah.
I appreciate you both, too.
Oh. Puya, what's next for you?
Masked Singer is going to be finishing off this week with a finale. So we'll be talking about that over on the Masked Singer Wrap Up podcast. That'll be happening. Then at some point at the end of December, Masked Dancer will start. We will definitely be talking about that. That'll end up being on the same feed for that, at least the first episode. We'll see how it goes. So you can check that out. And then I'll be, I'm doing my own streaming thing over on Twitch. So you can find me Twitch, Twitter, Instagram. I do tier listing on Tuesdays, and then some games here and there. It's just whatever happens.
I'm on Instagram and TikTok, but one former Survivor player has found an audience of 250,000 on TikTok. I have about 600 followers, so
whoa.
Twitch, you're doing fun stuff on Twitch.
All right, so on Twitch, I tier list on Tuesdays. We take a topic, we tier list it top to bottom. What's on the top? What's in Binnum? Friday nights, I have a late night stream where I take questions from the audience anonymously. We do advice stream there. That's what happens then.
Hey, Puya, so my fiance just moved to the United States, and my parents are not letting us sleep in the same bedroom. Do you have any advice for us?
buy a Cricut machine and make t-shirts with your faces on them. The family will love it. Okay? Can't endorse that enough.
Yes.
That and more you can find on that stream. And then Sundays I play Among Us with friends, which you can check out as well.
Okay.
Yay.
We will be back with more 90 Day Fiancé next week. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Leave us feedback and star ratings. All that good stuff helps more people find the show. robinswebsite.com/90dayfiancé. A lot of great stuff up at robinswebsite.com, including the return of the Friggin' Five. We outline the 2021 schedule on RHAP. A lot of fun stuff that we have working on that we're going to kick off in a couple of weeks. Over the weekend, we talked about season 3, episode 7 of Family Matters with the great Chappelle on Robin Akiva Need a Podcast, all our Amazing Race coverage. And I'm just seeing on the website right now that Taryn is going to be live tonight to talk about the episode 3 recap of Sequester season 4 with special guest Melissa Denny. Gotta tune in to see what Taryn and Melissa have to say about a very big Brent episode on Sequester this week. That's all up at robhasawebsite.com. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to check out any of the sponsors mentioned in this episode or other episodes, you can see all of the sponsor offerings at robhasawebsite.com/offers. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.